Gemara has a cloud that in Achilas Pusim Kazayin, so we have a pasuk in Chumash that says Be'erav Toch L'Matzes. We have a mitzvah to eat matzah, so the shear for matzah is normally assumed to be Kazayis. And the Gemara talks about the Kazayis being mitzdarif. If you eat it a little bit now, a little bit later, you have to eat it Toch Kedei Achilas Pras. So the Pashta says that if you eat one Kazayis, is sufficient. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rosh that the proper practice is that one should eat two kazeisim. Why should you need two kazeisim? Bein achilav chusim kazeis. Why should one need two kazeisim? So the Rosh is of the opinion, the Tosfos in the last parak has a machlokes about this. How many matzahs do you need on Pesach night? On every yontif you have to have lechem mishnah two shleimus. So on Pesach night we learn out from the pasuk lechem oni madarke shalani b'prusa. Avkam beprusa, that's the top line on Daf Kuf Tezayin and Aleph. Madarki shalani beprusa, avkam beprusa. What does it mean, madarki shalani beprusa? A poor man can't afford to buy his own bread, can't afford to bake his own bread. So he goes and he knocks on the door of a wealthy man and he asks him, give me a little bit of your bread. So the Novi Yeshaya encourages Bnei Yisrael, halo frois lo roi lachmecha, break off a piece of bread and give it to the poor man. So prusa means, why is it lechem oni, lechem oni? The poor man asks for a handout from the wealthy man, so he gives him a half of a challah. He's not going to give him a shlema. So on Pesach night, you have to have lechem mishneh, because every Shabbos and every yontif, we need lechem mishneh. Then you have to have a prusa. So how does it work together? So our practice is that we have 2.5 matzahs. That's the Rosh also like that. And Tosfos has two opinions about this, but it's 2.5 matzahs. And no, the din of prusa, madarki shalani beprusa, avkam beprusa, takes away from the din of lechem mishnah. On a normal Shabbos and Yontif, you have to have two shleimus. And on Pesach night, bedavki, should not have two shleimus. If you're going to have 2.5 matzahs, how is that lechem oni? That's a very wealthy man. He has 2.5 chalas. That's 2.5 shleimus. Two shleimus and one prusa. So that's a big machlekes in Rishonim. The Vilna Gaon followed the Rambam's opinion, followed that opinion in Tosfos, that you have 1.5 matzahs. Instead of having 2.5 matzahs, you have 1.5 matzahs. And that's in Valozhin. Chaim Valozhin, there was a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, he founded the Yeshiva Valozhin. So they followed that practice. They had, instead of 2.5, they had 1.5 matzahs. That's interesting. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik also learned in Valozhin, so that was his practice. Rav Soloveitchik had that practice. And Rav Moshe Feinstein also was a descendant of those who followed this tradition, that you have 1.5 matzahs instead of 2.5 matzahs. That's one of the many things that they had in common. That you had an unusual Seder, instead of having, like every normal Jew knows, you have 2.5 matzahs, so they would have 1.5 matzahs. So this is a fundamental machlekes Rishani. What's the nature of the mitzvah of matzah? That's the din of prusa. Tells you that you're not supposed to have two shleimas. Let's say if you have two prusas, so you have two prusas also yaitzir lechemishna. The Netziv has a tshuva where he writes that in Valozhin the practice was that those who came early got that they had a lot of rolls. They had a basket full of rolls. So those who came early had lechemishna two shleimas. And those who would come late, they wouldn't have shleimas. So they would take two prusas and they would say hamotzi over two prusas all year long when they said kiddush. So the question is, what do you accomplish by that? So he says, no, you have two pieces. Yeah, that's lechem mishnah. Preferable is that you should have lechem mishnah. They should both be shleimus. And if you can't have both be shleimus, at least have one of them shleimus. If you can't have even one of them shleimus, so have both of them prusas. So by having two, you're also yotzei. Let's say when you say kiddush in the morning, many people make kiddush and then they eat cake. So you should have two pieces of cake. You should have two pieces of cake. Even if nothing is shlema, even if they're both prusas, there's an inyan. That's a partial lechem mishnah. That's lechem mishnah with two prusas. So there's a fundamental machlekes here about the relationship between the suras Shabbos, the suras yontif, and the mitzvah of matzah. Our practice is that we have 2.5 matzahs. We assume that these are two distinct mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah to have suras yontif, and for that you need the lechem mishnah, the two shlemas. Then there's another mitzvah to have matzah. It's not that the mitzvah of Suras Yontif on Pesach night requires that you should have a matzah, no? And maybe you can't have chametz, of course you're going to have matzah. But since the two different mitzvahs, so the Rosh is of the opinion you have to have two different kazaisim. One kazais for the Suras matzah, and one kazais for the mitzvah of matzah. You have to have two shleimus for the mitzvah of Suras Yontif, and you have to have a prusa for the mitzvah of matzah. That's lechem oni. And the other opinion that the Vilna Gaon follows the Rambam, and the other opinion in the Tosis there, Kufta Zayinam and Aleph, has the two opinions. The other opinion is no, that it's Haino Hach, it's the exact same mitzvah. Normally the mitzvah of Lecha Mishnah and a normal Shabbos and Yom Tov requires two Shleimas. Here that's exactly what the Pasuk tells you, that you should have Lechem Oni Madak Shalani Beprusa, Avkam Beprusa, that the Lechem Mishnah should not be two Shleimas. It's preferable should be one and a half instead of having two. So that's, according to that opinion, that is Haino Hach, it's the same mitzvah. So of course there's no need for two Kezais. What do you mean? One Kezais for Matzah, one Kezais for the mitzvah of Sudas Yontem. The Kezais Matzah is the mitzvah of Sudas Yontem. The Chumash, the Torah tells you that the Sudas Yontem on Pesach night should be fulfilled by having the Kezais Matzah of the Pusa. So you're not killing two birds with one stone. Killing two birds with one stone in Talmudic Hebrew is known as Einos the Mitzvahs Chavilos Chavilos. Not allowed to be Eitz of two mitzvahs with the same Cheftze. So that's the machlokes, are these two distinct mitzvahs? Is there a mitzvah of Suras Yontif and a mitzvah of Achilas Matzah? Or are they one and the same mitzvah? The women are mechuyev on Pesach night, the women are mechuyev in Matzah, because the Gemara has the Hekish. So therefore the women are mechuyev in Muzer and Baal Teich HaChomes, because in Loises, even if it's as man grom, women are mechuyev. So therefore the women are just as mechuyev as the men in eating the matzah. So the shaila is, does that mean that the women are mechuyev in Sudas Yontif? What about in general, on a regular Yontif? Are women mechuyev in Sudas Yontif? So on Shabbos, the Rishonim say, the Ran in Perek Kol Kisve quotes the Rabbi Natam, that women are just mechuyev as men in Lechem Mishneh and in Sudas Shlishis. Women are just as mechuyev as men. The Rabbi Natam gives one explanation, the Ran gives a different explanation. But bottom line, they both say the same thing, that women and men are equally mechuyev. They're all mechuyev in Lechem Mishneh in Sholosh Sudas. Maybe that only applies to Shabbos. What about on Yom Tov? Are the women mechuyev in Sudas Yontif? Because Sudas Yontif, we don't have Sudas Shlishis. We don't have three Sudas. So maybe the women are not mechuyev in Sudas Yontif. So Rabbi Kivege has a very strange tshuva Aleph, where he discusses in the tshuva, in the Hashmatas to the tshuva, he discusses maybe women are not mechuyev in Sudas Yontif because it's a mitzvah saseh shas man grama. Maybe women are potter. Maybe women are mechuyev mitam simcha. That's the shaila. What's mechayev to have Sudas Yontif? The simcha Yontif is mechayev. If simcha is mechayev, then chalamoid has the same chiyev simcha as you have on Yontif. So you should have a chiyev to have a suda on chalamoid. The fact that you don't have a chiyev, the Gemara says if one recited birchas hamazon and chalamoid, if he forgot to mention yalav yob, he doesn't have to repeat the birchas hamazon. Gemara says why? Because one is not obligated to have a suda on chalamoid. One is not permitted to fast on Chalamoid, but it's not mechuyev to have a suda that he should wash on Chalamoid. So l'chora, that's a clear indication that the din of simcha just asks betainis. There's an isa tainis on Chalamoid, but it's not mechayev in suda. So what's the mechayev of suda on Yontif? Why are you mechuyev to have a suda on Yontif? It's not because of simcha. So the pashtus is that what you have on Yontif that you don't have a Chalamoid is kibli v'yayneh. The same thing that's mechayev the suda on Shabbos is also mechayev the suda on Yom Tov, and doesn't exist on Chalamoid. Keep it v'yari. I'll be pashtus. So Rabbi Kivege somehow has a funny suggestion. He says that maybe you should depend on the machlokes, the Rambam and the Raivin in Hilchos Chagiga. Gemara has a list of mitzvahs haseh shas magrama that women are mechuyev in. Exceptions to the rule. Hakel is a pasuk in Chumash. Hakel is on Noshim, on Noshim at Tavsta. The pasuk says the fair is that women are mechuyev in Hakel, despite the fact that it's a Zman Groma, once every 7 years, it certainly has Zman Groma. And then you have Matzah, then you have a few other mitzvahs here and there. Kiddush, the Gemara says, women are mechuyev, despite the fact that it's a mitzvah saseh shas Zman Groma. So the shaila is, what about Simchas Yontif, about women mechuyev? So the Gemara has a machlekes tanoim and a machlekes amarayim. What do you do with the pasuk? It says, Samachta ato, v'halevi, v'hager, v'hayos almana, shebike becha. So it talks about almana. So it says that women are mechuyev. Samachta ato veisecho. Veisecho is his wife. So it doesn't mean that women are just as mechuyev as men in the mitzvah of simcha. Simcha is an exception to the rule. Or should we assume perhaps that not so, that the women on their own don't have a chiyev simcha. But part of the husband, part of the man's chiyev simcha is to be ishtoi baila mesamcha. that the husband has a chiyuv simcha to be misameach his wife. He has a chiyuv to give, if he's going to go to Yerushalayim, he's going to eat the sudas, so he has to give the wife also. And maybe it's not that the almana has a mitzvah of simcha, but those who are able to afford it have a chiyuv to be mishatef the almanas in their meals. So that's a machloikis hatanoim in the first parak in Chagiga, and Kiddushin in the first parak in Chagiga. In Kiddushin, a machloikis hamaroim, and a machloikis the Rambam and the Ravid, where the noshim chayovis besimcha, and noshim anat chayovis besimcha. So Rabbi Kivega suggests that maybe it'll happen afkemine, it's a difficult suggestion, maybe it'll happen afkemine if a woman benched, if a woman benches on Shabbos and she forgets to say ritzei. We assume that she has to repeat the Birchas HaMazon because the women are just as mechuyev as the men in Shalosh Udas. That's how the Rabbeinu Tam in Iran, they both say. But on Yontif, Rabbi Kadeg suggests, maybe it depends on this machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid. If women are mechuyev in Simcha, so maybe they're mechuyev in Sudas Yontif, so maybe they have to bench over if they forgot Yalav Yovan. You should say they're not mechuyev, so they wouldn't have to bench over. It's a difficult assumption, difficult premise, that the mechayv of Suda and Yontif is the Simcha as opposed to the Kibbutz V'yoinig. Pashtun says that the Kibbutz V'yoinig is mechayv. But then Rabbi Kivega says, but on Leil Pesach, that he knows for sure, that since the women are mechuyev and matzah, so for sure if they'll leave out by mistake Yalav Yov, they'll have to bench over again, because they're mechuyev to have matzah. So this assumption that Rabbi Kivega makes seems to be assuming, he seems to be taking for granted that the mitzvah of matzah is identical with the mitzvah of Sudas Yontif. So he assumes that since the women are mechuyev in matzah, what that means in effect is that women are mechuyev in Sudas Yontif, so therefore if they'll recite Birchas HaMazon, they'll leave out Yalav Yovay on Leil HaSeder, they won't be yotze the Sudas Yontif. What do you mean? If you bench and you leave out Yalav Yovay, the din is that you're not yotze the benching? Or yotze the benching, not yotze the Sudas Yontif, not yotze the Sudas Shabbos. The Pashta says that the benching you are yotze, just not yotze the Suda. So who says the women are mechuyev in the Suda? So Rabbi Kivega assumes the fact that the mechuyev are matzah is by definition an implication that the matzah is the Suda. Rabbi Kivega says, the matzah is the Suda. That's only according to the other opinion that you use 1.5 matzahs. But according to our practice that you use 2.5 matzahs, so this the mitzvah of Sudas Yontav Lechud and the mitzvah of Matzah Lechud, the two distinct mitzvahs. So just because the women are mechuyev and Matzah Leil HaSeder doesn't mean they're mechuyev in the mitzvah of Sudas Yontav. So if they leave out Yalav Yav, it's not a hechur, it's not such a double portion that they'll have to bench over again. Mishnah Berurah has a taina against the Mechaber. Usually Mishnah Berurah throws on chumis. So here, for a change, Mishnah Berurah has a taina why the Mechaber was machmir. Why did the Mechaber say you should have 2 kizaisim, one for the Sudas Yontif and one for the mitzvah of matzah? He says the only Rishonim who said that are the Rosh and a few Rishonim. The Rosh and a few Rishonim. And that's all. It's not the Rosh alone, the Rosh and a few other Rishonim. But he says he thinks that most of the Rishonim say it's sufficient with 1 kizaisim matzah. That's a fundamental shot. That's the shot where they need 2.5 matzahs or 1.5 matzahs. So according to the Minigam Kubo, everybody uses 2.5 matzahs. So really, you need 2 kizaisim. The 2 different mitzvahs. One mitzvah is the mitzvah of Sudas Yontif. The other mitzvah is the kizais of matzah. Mishnah Berurah wants to disprove the Rosh from the Loshon HaGemara. The Gemara talks about the mitzvah of Hesedah. So the Gemara talks about the Shamish. The Shamish is the waiter in the hotel, and he's running back and forth. So he's gobbling down. He's saying Avadim Hayinu as he's running back and forth and serving on all the tables. So how's he going to eat the matzah beheseba? So the Gemara says, let him eat 1 kazayis beheseba. It's not so difficult. Shamish mishocha kazayis beheseba yotzeh dechavos. All he has to eat is 1 kazayis beheseba. The rest of the food he can be running around all night long serving on the tables. He can gobble down all the food while he's running around. So the Mishnah Berurah Tainus, don't you see me foolish from the Gemara that 1 kazayis is enough? The Gemara says, shamish mishocha kazayis matzah beheseba yotzeh dechavos. The truth of the matter is that that's a very questionable hoichocha. The Tain is against the Rosh. The Rosh says you need 2 kizais, and here the Gemara says all you need is 1 kizais. So that really depends on the nature of the mitzvah of Haseba. There is a fundamental machlekes, the Rambam and the other Rish, the Rambam and Tosfos, the Rambam and the Rosh, about the nature of the mitzvah of Haseba, as well as the nature of the mitzvah of Arba Kosis. The Mishnah learns that from the pasuk that b'chol dor v'dor chayivarim liris hasatzman kilu hayatzim in Mitzrayim. That's perhaps the most difficult mitzvah. To eat matzah, to drink arba kosis, to eat mar is not so hard. But to have such a frame of mind, to have in mind b'chol dor v'dor chayivarim liris hasatzman kilu hayatzim in Mitzrayim, that's very difficult. So that's a din deraisa. That's a din deraisa even mizman hazeh. Chayivarim liris hasatzman. Then the Rambam writes in addition to the Mishnah. The Rambam writes another din mid the Rabbanim. B'chol davadar chayivarim laharis esatz mekilu hayatz mitzrayim. In addition to the mitzvah deraisa, that a person should have such an attitude, he should have such a feeling as if he just left Tzias Mitzrayim tonight, is a mitzvah mid the Rabbanim to demonstrate laharis esatz mekilu hayatz mitzrayim. How does one demonstrate the kilu hayatz mitzrayim? So with the Rambam writes that we do this, the two parts to the mitzvah, the two ways to demonstrate. One is that we drink a toast. B'nei Chorin drink l'chaim. They make a toast. So you have to have arba kosis. And secondly, you have to eat be'seba. They didn't permit avodim to eat be'seba. To eat be'seba and to drink liquor, to drink intoxicating beverages, this is miyuchad only for B'nei Chorin. So the Rambam understands that these two, the he'seba with arba kosis, boil down to the same thing. This is the way to fulfill the mitzvah of the mitzvah mid the rabbanon, and b'chol dor v'dor chayivarim laharis esatz mekilu hayatz mitzrayim. That's why the Rambam writes that l'chatchila he should eat the whole meal beheseda. Shulchan Aruch quotes that l'chatchila one should eat the whole meal beheseda. And the sefer Orches Rabbeinu, where somebody wrote all the hanhogas of the stipler, so they write that the stipler and the chazanish never did that. They never ate l'chatchila kol asud because it's most uncomfortable b'zman hazeh. So he felt that we don't follow that Ramah. Even though the days of Ramah was also probably very uncomfortable. So we don't follow the Ramah. But that's what the Ramah holds. The Heseba is not a din in matzah. It's not a din miyuchal matzah. It's a din in the Suda Salayla to eat the Heseba and to drink arba kosis. Tosfos and the Rosh are not so convinced of this. Tosfos on the first Mishnah discusses the possibility that maybe all you need for the arba kosis is that the father of the household should have arba kosis. You don't need that each and every person should drink arba kosis. Tosfos understands one side in Tosfos. The major thrust of the Balei HaTosfos should be is that arba kosis is just that you should recite four brachas al hakos. That the sipei tzias mitzrayim should be fulfilled in the framework of four brachas al hakos. We recite kiddush al hakos. We recite the bracha shegi'olanu al hakos. Then we have Birchas HaMazon al HaKos. Then we have what the Mishnah refers to as Birchas HaShir al HaKos. But you don't really need that everyone should drink the arba kosis. Amvorch tzorach sheyitam. Somebody has to take a sip. So either the Omer HaKiddush says take a sip, or someone else takes a sip. Someone should take a sip and loy lugmav. That's a suggestion of Tosfos. Then Tosfos in the Rosh Lishitosam do not understand Hesebe either the way the Rambam did. That it's a demonstration that we are B'nei Chorin. No. Arba kosis is not that you're drinking a toast on Pesach now. Arba kosis is for brachas al hakos. Hesebe also, Tosfos and the Rosh understand that Hesebe is a din mid the Rabbanon, it's not a din mid the Torah, but it's a din mid the Rabbanon, the correct way to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. You have to eat the matzah be Hesebe. If you eat the matzah shalai be Hesebe, you won't be out to the mitzvah of matzah. It's not an independent mitzvah to have Hesebe to demonstrate your ben chorin. That's the correct method of fulfilling the mitzvah of matzah. That's what Tosfos says. If you eat matzah b'li haseba, then with the rabbanon you're not yotzei the mitzvah of matzah. You have to eat again another kazayis. Tosfos discusses what if he ate the matzah shaloi b'haseba, he ate the afikoyim shaloi b'haseba, and he already recited Birchas HaMazon. Does he have to wash again and eat another kazayis? Because he wasn't yotzei with the rabbanon, he wasn't yotzei the mitzvah of matzah. According to the Rambam, Rav Elbala Soloveitchik is quoted as having said he didn't see that there was a whole issue bichlal according to the Rambam. According to the Rambam, you go to the mitzvah matzah afilu shaloi b'haseba. Seba is a separate mitzvah. If you ate shaloi b'haseba, so you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of haseba, fafal. And haseba has nothing to do with the matzah. Seba, according to the Rambam, is a din kol asoda kula. The whole suda should be b'haseba. So the according to the Rosh who follows in the Shitas Balei HaTosfos, Hesebe is not an independent mitzvah, just a way to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. So true, the Rosh requires two kizayis, and one kizayis for the Sudas Yontif and one kizayis for the mitzvah of matzah. But the Rosh holds that these are two distinct mitzvahs. That's why you can't kill two birds with one stone. You can't eat one kezayis and say it should be oyle lakan alakan. One kezayis should be oyle for the mitzvah of Surah Siyantav as well as for the mitzvah of matzah. The Rosh also said they're two distinct mitzvahs. According to the Rosh, who follows the Tosfos, that Hasev is not a separate mitzvah that you need lachatchila to be meisav kol asodu kula. It's just the din and the matzah. So from the two kezayisim that you have to eat, you only have to eat one of them the Hasevah. The other one doesn't have to be the Hasevah. The one that's Surah Siyantav doesn't need the Hasevah. The Rosh and the Bali Atos never said like this Rambam, that Chathili Yesod Kol HaSodah Kula, Kol HaSodah. The Din of Hasevah, it was instituted with the Rabbanan as the correct way to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. So that's why the Gemara says very well. The Shamash is running back and forth, serving on all of the customers in the restaurant, in the hotel. So how is he going to eat Be'eseibah? So the Gemara says, Mishocha kazayis Be'eseibah. Yotza, all he has to eat is one kazayis. It doesn't prove that all he has to eat is one kazayis of matzah. The Yoylam, the Rosh is right. He insists you have to eat two kazayis of matzah. One for the Sudas Yontif, one for the mitzvah of matzah. The one for the Sudas Yontif doesn't need a seba. The Gemara says, Hashamish Mishocha kazayis matzah Be'eseibah yotza. You only need a seba on one of the two. The Mishnah Berurah's raya is a right. You would have held like the Rambam, yeah, but the Rambam holds that it's 1.5 matzahs. The Rambam we know holds you only eat one kazayis. It's 1.5 because the mitzvah of matzah is identical with the mitzvah of Surah Siyantav. It's the exact same mitzvah. Very questionable. Rabbi Kiveg's whole premise is that he himself points out that it's difficult because the mitzvah of Simcha applies equally on Chol HaMoed as it applies on Yom Tov. And on Chol HaMoed, the Gemara says that you forgot to say Yal V'Yal Yom Tov and Shor V'Yitzchak. See that the Mechayev of the Suda is not so much the mitzvah of Simcha Yom Tov, the mitzvah of Kibbutz V'Yonik. So it has nothing to do with the Rambam and the Rabbi, but the Noshim Chayav is the Simcha now. So Nushal, a women Mechayev and Kibbutz V'Yonik. Separate shayla, I don't know, but it's not the Rambam and the Ravid. They didn't discuss the topic. It's a good shayla.
Yeah.
Right. So that goes on the mitzvah of matzah. So the Rosh agrees that for the sake of the mitzvah of matzah, sufficient with one kazayis, but because it's a second mitzvah of the Surah Siyantav. So for the Surah Siyantav, you don't need Shmura. The Tzeker Shal Nochrim, the Gemara says, Zod B'malak Reis, and then about Shech Gazayis Matzah V'Achrayim. The matzahs that are baked by the Nochrim, we know that they're not, we saw them, we know that they're not chametz, but they weren't made with Shema. So you can't be out to the mitzvah of matzah with it, but you can still be out to the mitzvah of Surah Siyantav with it. That's a shayla. What's the nature of the mitzvah of Arba Kaisis? Tosfos is noted to say that it's the same as Kiddush and Abdullah, just the four brachas ala kos. And the Rambam and the Rif hold beferish not so. That's one part of the story. It's a bracha ala kos, and it should require everything that's required by a bracha ala kos. Sokshiak bia, tefach. It's not enough if you hold the cup while it's sitting on the plate. You have to pick up the cup of tefach lachatchila. Pick up a tefach mal gabi hashulchan when you recite the bracha ala kos. Or it's not just enough to take a little sip. According to Tosfos, that it's only a bracha ala kos, you have to drink at least a maloy lugmav. According to the Rambam and the Rif, a maloy lugmav is not enough. You have to drink a rov kos. The Gemara says you have to drink rov kos. The Tosfos says, no, it doesn't mean that. That's imprecise. It means maloy lugmav. So why did the Gemara say rov kos? So the Rana and the Rif says, the Rana and the Rif quoted by the Ramon Shulchan Aruch, that by an order benini, maloy lugmav will be a rov revius. Well, let's say you have a kos that's machzik more than a revius. A lot of people have gigantic bechas that have more than a revius. So then the Shulchan Aruch recommends you should drink rov of that kos, even though it's going to be way more than maloy lugmav. That's because we follow the Rambam and the Rif. The Rambam and the Rif hold that it's a mitzvah of shtiyas hakos. So you have to have a roiv of the kos, whatever size the kos happens to be. You have to have a roiv of the kos. So the Pashto says, a bracha la kos, it certainly is. You should be makbi atefach. And the Gemara says in Maseches Brachas, a bracha la kos, you should have mariko shtifo. You should rinse out the cup before, on the inside and on the outside before you start to say Kiddush. The Magen Avraham writes in Hilchos Shabbos, what if the Balabasta washed out the cup on Matzoy Shabbos and she put it away in the cabinet? So next Friday night, when the Balabasta goes to say Kiddush, the Magen Avraham says there's no need to rinse out the cup, because we know that it's clean. It was washed out last Matzoy Shabbos and was put away, and it's not dirty, nobody else used it. So according to the Magen Avraham, the requirement from Riko Shtifa to rinse out the cup on the inside and the outside only applies when there's a concern that the cup may be dirty. But if it's not dirty, it was put away, there's no need for Mariko Shtifa. In the Sefer Kaf HaChayim, he quotes B'Kubalim, and that's why Hasidim often like to follow Kabbalah more so than the non-Hasidim. So the Hasidim have this practice also, that even if the cup was put away in a cabinet all week long, and you know for sure that it's clean, you still rinse it out on the inside. The answer, you still do Mariko Shtifa. Let's say, what if I drank, I rinse out the cup for Kiddush, now it's time for the second cup of wine, the benching, the third cup of wine, fourth cup of wine. I have a little wine left over in the cup, but it's my germs. I'm the one who drank from the wine, so there's nothing dirty about it. I'm prepared to drink from my wine. It's not that someone else's shiuri kaisis are there. So according to the Magen Avraham, that the only time you need Mariko Shtifa is if the cup is dirty. So that's if it's sloppy, dirty, has someone else's germs on it or something like that. But if I was the one who was drinking, I drank the first cup of wine, so I can use it for the second, third, and fourth cup without rinsing out. So that's the common practice, that people don't wash out the cup in between the Kiddush and Asher Galor. And others who follow the practice that's mentioned in the Kaf HaChayim, that you always rinse out the bech on the inside and the outside, even if it is clean. So others have the practice of rinsing out the cup after the Kiddush, and then after Asher Galor, and before the Birchas HaMazon. And then again, before the filling it up the fourth time. The quote Rav Kook, Zecher Lebracha, used to have that practice. He would rinse out the cup each time, because each time is a bracha ala kos. Everybody's masking with what Tosaf said, that you're reciting four brachas ala kos on Tosaf night. You have to drink at least a maloy lugmav. Just take a little sip, that's not sufficient. You have to have at least a maloy lugmav. You have to be magbiya tefach, and you have to have mariko shtifa, anything that a kosher bracha would require. But in addition to that, the Rambam and the Rifal, that's why it says in Shulchan Aruch, that it's a mitzvah shtiyas hakos. That's why the Gemara is to be taken literally. The Gemara says you have to drink a rov kos. The Gemara didn't say maloy lugmav. Maloy lugmav is just for Kiddush and Abdallah under the chuppah when you get married. So teima is defined as a maloy lugmav. But by Pesach night, the Bach says lachatril you should drink kol hakos. You should really drink arba kosis. And second best is Ruba Kukula. L'chatchila kol hakos. The second best is Ruba Kukula. And each person should drink. You can't say like Kiddush and Abdallah. One person drinks and everybody's yotze. That's why for a purpose of a brocha l'kos. But for the purpose of the mitzvah of having a toast, of drinking l'chaim, so each person has to drink on his own.
The Mariko Shtiva has to be right before you, according to the Kaf HaChayim, has to be right before you make the brocha. But let's say you did, before you put it away, you cleaned it out, and the Mariko Shtiva, can that count?
The machmer, if you washed it out last Matzoy Shabbos and you take it out on Friday night from the cabinet, you should rinse it out again. Soon before. It doesn't have to be immediately before, but it should be soon before. The Mishnah lists off on Lamites which vegetables are acceptable for Moror. And it says, whom it's star from the kazais. If you have a little bit of one vegetable, a little bit of another vegetable, they're all mitzar from two kazais. If you look through the Gemara on Lamites and Aleph on the base, Gemara seems to be assuming that all of these vegetables are leafy vegetables. They're not roots. These are vegetables that grow above the ground. That's the problem with the horseradish, that many assume that horseradish is tamcho. That's how they usually translate. Tamcho is charein. Is horseradish the second in the list? So it's very questionable because the horseradish is a root that grows under the ground. It's not a leafy vegetable at all. So it doesn't seem to fit in at all with the other. Mar says all of the atzara shavshabem are all leafy vegetables, that if you cut it, so the sap will lose out. There's no sap in the root of the horseradish. That's why it's some kind of that horseradish is not really mara. They say it's a mistaken identification. For many generations, people ate horseradish, but it's not assumed to be la mahadrim and la mahadrim. The Yerushalmi says, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that the five vegetables listed in the Mishnah, listed in descending order of importance. So the best to use is chazeres. Chazeres is always a lettuce. So many are makbid afke to use romaine lettuce, because regular lettuce didn't exist in Eretz Yisrael in the days of the Tanoim. They only have what we call today romaine lettuce. Others say no, regular iceberg lettuce is the same thing. Lettuce is lettuce. Same thing, a slight variation. But if romaine lettuce is good, so others hold that regular lettuce is also good. So the Yushalmi says that chazeres is preferable to tamcha, even if you should assume tamcha means horseradish harein. But the Yushalmi says chazeres is to be preferred. Why? Why is it to be preferred? So the Yushalmi says because zechel v'aymaru es chayeyim, that when Bnei Yisrael had the shibutz, at first it was very pleasant. First it was not bitter at all, and only later on it became very bitter. So too the chazeres, the romaine lettuce, is such a vegetable that if you cut it off early, it tastes reasonably good. The lettuce tastes good. If you would leave the lettuce in the ground longer to grow for a longer period of time, then it would become bitter. So that's mamish zecha levaimaru chayen. That it started off with mesikas and it ends off with bitterness. So the Chazon Ish in his Sefer writes, based on the Yerushalmi, that the only time the romaine lettuce is acceptable for the mitzvah mar is if you left it in the ground so long till it became bitter. But if you cut it off early, and it's not going to grow anymore, if you cut it off at the stage that it has a pleasant tasting flavor, so the Chazon Ish is mechadish that you're not yotze the mitzvah mar. In Europe, that was not the general practice. Everybody cut it off early. Everybody cut it off in the East to eat it. They assumed the fact that if you would have left it longer in the ground, it would become bitter tasting. So that's koveya, that this romaine lettuce is a min yerek of maror. So even if you eat it, even if you cut it off early, before it had a chance to get the bitter flavor, it would still be good for the mitzvah. See, lettuce, if you leave it longer in the ground, is going to be bitter. Horseradish is not really bitter, it's sharp, it's a different sensation. There was a Talmud who learned here in the Yeshiva almost 40 years ago, who published an essay at the time in the Gesher magazine. The Gesher was the magazine sponsored by the SOI to bridge Torah Madol, to make a Gesher between Torah Madol. So his field was botany, and he's a professor now, I think, Ben Gurion University in botany. Got his name with a B. Got his name. So he published this essay explaining, he documented when they started to use horseradish. He shows that they only started to use horseradish when the Jews moved so close to the North Pole that their romaine lettuce wasn't growing yet. So the Persian had nothing else for Mara, so they had second best. They came up with the romaine lettuce. But in the earlier generations, when the Jews lived in Poland, in Galicia, they didn't live so close to the North Pole, so they never used horseradish. So they translated, so for many years his essay was only available in English. About 10 years ago they translated it into Hebrew. So people in Bnei Brak were looking for Chumris, happened to come upon his essay in Hebrew, and they started this new Chumra to go back to romaine lettuce, instead of using horseradish, to go back to romaine lettuce. The Mishnah says that if the lettuce is mevushal, you're not yotzei. And who are the nami, not yet, if it's kovish. Kovish means if it's soaked. Kovish we usually assume means either soaked in water for 24 hours or soaked in a very sharp chaymetz v'tzir for a shorter period of time. That's a question, how short a period of time? So that the Tiberius Yisrael writes in one place on Mishnah is 18 minutes. Everything is 18 minutes. 18 minute matzah, so everything is a sheer 18 minutes. But later, Acharonim Amasik on the Tver saw that that's a mistake, it's not 18 minutes. Then on the Halaur, V'yascha lahatiach, is either 8 minutes or 4 minutes. They disagree. So sometimes people soak their romaine lettuce in order to get all the bugs out. So they soak it in some very sharp vinegar or something. They soak it for a few minutes. So lechatchili shouldn't soak it for a few minutes because you may forget and leave it for longer. They say you're not allowed to soak lettuce for an hour because you may forget and leave it for 24 hours. That's quite a difference between 1 hour and 24 hours. But to say you shouldn't soak the romaine lettuce for 3 minutes because you may make a mistake and leave it for 8 minutes, all you have to do is get one telephone call in the middle. So that'll be a half an hour. So the balabasta will forget that she left the romaine lettuce soaking in the chaymetz v'tzir, in the vinegar. So that's what the Kafa Chaim suggests, that it's not proper to soak the romaine lettuce or any more. It's not proper to soak it even less than the shear if you're soaking in a chametz v'tzia, because you may forget and leave it for a little longer by mistake.
If you soak it twice, those two shiurim on the start,
I think mitzdarif, the achrayim amekel, I think that it's not mitzdarif. If you soak it a little bit now, a little bit later, I think the achrayim say la halacha, it's not mitzdarif. Yeah. The Gemara paskins. Gemara says that we accept the opinion that mara bizman is ezder abana zeichel amikdash. The Gemara has machlekes hatanoim. What's the din of matzah shall be kurim? Is one yetzidech was a matzah shall be kurim? So it's a machlekes hatanoim. So then the Gemara has a discussion. What's the issue regarding matzah shal bikurim? Because it's not nechal b'chol meishavas. Okay, maybe there's a din. B'chol meishavasech m'tochol matzah. The matzah is only kosher from the mitzvah of matzah if it's matzah nachelas b'chol meishavas. L'chor, the pshat is that it's a tie to the sasri in l'shmo. If this is bikurim, if this is ma'aseh sheni, the same nachelas b'chol meishavas, it's a stira. You can't say that it's called asir l'shmo. The shei matzah, this kind of matzah is not nachelas b'chol meishavas. It's a different kind of a mitzvah. The Gemara had a half minute that truma should constitute matzah shal truma should be possible. The Gemara says no, matzah's riba. That was on Laman Hamid days. But matzah shal ma'aseh sheni, matzah shal bikurim. So that's a machlekes hatanaim. So the Gemara raises a suffix on Laman test on the base. What would you say, matzah shal ma'aseh sheni bizman hazeh? Boy Rami Bachom, Mar she yetzi adam dechavasai. The Mara shall ma'aseh sheni be Yerushalayim. Bizman hazeh. The Mara shall again. The Mara asked the Shaila, what about Mara? Mara shall ma'aseh sheni bizman hazeh. The one be yotze adam. What's the Shaila? So the Mara says, the din, according. If one should assume that by matzah there's a din that you have to have nachelas b'chol meishavos, what's the shaila regarding ki diboy lachalib Rabbi Yisrael Glili? Rabbi Yisrael Glili holds you need matzah nachelas b'chol meishavos. So what would you say regarding moror bizman hazeh? Maybe since it's only mid rabbanon, so it doesn't pose a problem. What's only mid rabbanon? So Rashi on that Gemara lametes and base has two pshatim. Gemara means to say that mitzvahs morah bizman hazeh is mid rabbanon. So the suffix of the Gemara is in the nature of the mitzvah of morah. Is it a mitzvah just to make a zecher l'migdash, or the Gemara held a svara that zecher l'migdash is the reason why they instituted the mitzvah of morah? If it's a mitzvah of morah, so it has to be hukish to matzah, has to be nachelas b'chol meishavos, going to Rabbi Yisrael Glili. But if it's not the mitzvah of morah, it's just to make a zecher l'migdash, can make a zecher even if it's ain't a nachelas b'chol meishavos. Shouldn't carry over all of the requirements of the real mara. So according to one pshat in Rashi, that was the Gemara Safik, that since mara bizman is the Rabbanon, Safik was, what's the nature of the mitzvah mara? Is it a mitzvah mara mid the Rabbanon? So it requires everything that mara requires, or should I assume no, that it's a mitzvah only to make a zecher l'migdash, zecher is good even if it's ain't a nachelas b'chol meishavos. And Rashi has another pshat, the Gemara Safik is not regarding the nature of the mitzvah of mara. Of course mara bizman hazeh is a mitzvah mara. Midrabbanon. Bizman amigdush was a mitzvah deraisa of mara. Bizman hazeh, it's not a mitzvah of zechel amigdush. Mitam zechel amigdush is kinu that there should be a mitzvah of mara. But the Gemara means to say that ma'aseh sheni is only midrabbanon by mara. Ma'aseh sheni is only deraisa on dog and tirish v'yitzar. But on mara, on all other fruits and vegetables, trumas and ma'aseh and ma'aseh sheni would only be midrabbanon. There is the opinion. How does the pasuk read? V'chal ma'aseh ha'aretz b'zeh ha'aretz b'fi ha'aretz kodesh l'Hashem. The pasuk towards the very end of Chumash Vayikra, the end of B'chukaisa. V'chal ma'aseh ha'aretz b'fi ha'aretz. V'chal ma'aseh. Zeh ha'aretz b'fi ha'aretz kodesh l'Hashem. So what does it mean? What's kodesh? Which ma'aseh sheni is? Which ma'aseh is kodesh? The Rashi quotes from the Tanah and goes on ma'aseh sheni. It doesn't go on ma'aseh rishon. Ma'aseh rishon is not kodesh. You give it to the labor. He eats it betumah. Ma'aseh sheni is kodesh, has to be eaten the kedusha of a tahara in Yerushalayim. So the pasuk speaks of v'chal ma'aseh ha'aretz mizera ha'aretz m'pi ha'etz. Sounds like all fruits and vegetables are chayv and ma'aseh sheni. High, but we usually assume that it's according to Rashi and Tosafot only double tirish v'yitzar. So the Sefer Yireim has a fantastic chiddush. The Malbim there has a discussion of it. A on that pasuk. Sefer Reim comes up with a chiddush that even though Truma u'maisa Rishon is only deraisa on Dog and Tirish v'Yitzar, but Maisa Sheni is deraisa even on all fruits and vegetables. So Rashi here, in going to the second Mishad, is clearly learning not so. Rashi is saying, should I say that since it's only the Rabbanim, so the din is different? What's only the Rabbanim? So the first part Rashi was, it's the whole mitzvah Mora b'zmanazeh is only the Rabbanim. The Mora was a mesubik about the nature of the mitzvah Mora. Is it a mitzvah Mora or is it only a mitzvah of Zecha l'Mikdash? According to the second shot in Rashi, the Mora was a mesubik that Maisa Sheni Shal Mora is only the Rabbanim. Maisa Sheni of Dogen Tirish v'Yitzar, Matzah, Maisa Sheni of Matzah, that's their Isa. But Mora Shal Maisa Sheni, the whole Maisa Sheni and Mora is only the Rabbanim. He's assuming that anything outside of Dogen Tirish v'Yitzar not only doesn't have Chumak Dorla Maisa Rishon, doesn't have Maisa Sheni either. The Maisa Sheni and Mora is also only going to be the Rabbanim. Not like the Irein, that all fruits and vegetables are Chayv and Maisa Sheni min HaTor. It's a funny Shita.
Does the Rosh quote this Gemara? We got a Kizayas?
No. He does not quote. According to the way Rashi learns Lachar, that is the Gemara Safik. The Gemara's Mistabra Matzah Mora, that the din is the same. The Gemara's conclusion is the din is the same. So the way Rashi learned that, this, according to the first Pshat Rashi, that the Gemara Safik was about the nature of the Mitzah Mora, so it comes out the way the Rosh came out, Lamaskona. That you need a Kazayas and it's a Mitzvah of Mora, it's not a Mitzvah of Zecha L'Mikdash. And the din of Ein Echel B'chama Shavus applies even on Mora B'zman HaZeh, not only Mora B'zman HaMikdash. According to the second pshat in Rashi, the Gemara Safik is not really a Safik in the nature of mitzvahs Mora B'zman HaZeh. Mora B'zman HaZeh for sure is a mitzvah Mora. The Gemara Safik is in the nature of Maisa Sheni in Mora. Is it the same as Maisa Sheni Shal Dogen Tirish V'Yitzar, but it's only Midrabbanon? Or should I assume that the nature of the Maisa Sheni by all other fruits and vegetables outside of Dogen Tirish V'Yitzar is going to be different? Two pshatim, and what was the Gemara Safik and Lamentes on the base? There was a big machlekes in Europe regarding those who use horseradish on the assumption the horseradish is tamcho, the charein, so some held that you have to eat a dafke without chopping it up, without grinding it up, based on the Gemara and brachas. One brachas on Lamentes on the base as a Safik, what brachas recited on shlokas? If you have fruits or vegetables, that you can eat it the way it is, and you go and you cook it. You go and you cook carrots. In America, people eat carrots raw. So if you go and you cook carrots, the Gemara's a Safik, does it still retain the bracha bar pi adoma? Or should I say that since you cooked it, it's considered a shinoi? Panam chadash is bar lakan, and I treat it like a synthetic food, and the bracha is going to be shahako, like tofuri or something. Like if you mix chemicals together, you get a good tasting food. So the bracha on all artificial foods, all synthetic artificial foods, is going to be shahakol. You can't say bar pi adoma, it's not a vegetable. You can't say bar pi, it's not a fruit, synthetic food. So the Gemara has a machlekes. What about shlokas? Maybe I should treat it like a panim chadash, a shinui, and it no longer retains the original bracha. So the Gemara there seems to assume that if you say that shlokas b'varcham aleihem shahakol liyabidvaray, why? Because you made a shinoi. So u'adinami, if you'll grind some fruit or vegetable into tiny little particles, that'll also be considered a shinoi. It'll also be treated like a synthetic, artificial food, and it'll also be shahakol. And the Gemara says, if shlokas mevarchem aleihem shahakol, if it's a shinoi, and that's why it's not considered a fruit or a vegetable, you say shahakol like on a synthetic food, then the Gemara says you can't use it for matzah, you can't use it for mara. Because once you're going to be mevashel it, once you're going to grind it up into tiny particles, it's considered a synthetic maichel. It's not considered a vegetable anymore. It no longer retains its original identity that it was one of the chameshus aminim of the vegetables. So the Gemara there in Brachas Daf Lamed Chesem and Bey seems to assume that that's the reason why mevushalim is no good. The Gemara starts off like that. A mara that's mevushal is no good because it doesn't retain its original identity. And it's a panim chadash is ba'olakam. So then the Gemara says, well, adinami, grinding up. If you grind up into tiny particles, it'll also be considered a shinoi. So that's what some of the other women doctor, if you're eating horseradish, you can't grind it up into tiny particles. And others said the reverse, that you have to eat the normal achila, that shalokaderach achilosai. You had the Rashi on Lam and Heim at Aleph. Rashi said, himcheh v'gomoy, matzihi enonim yotzi decha vasa v'pesach. So Rashi says, why the lab derach achila koch aleini? So we had the Mishlei Melech wasn't sure what Rashi meant. The Mishlei Melech and Yisei Dator, where the Rambam says if he eats treif of food shalak derech achilosoi, he get anor from Yisuri Hanor shalak derech anosoi. So the Yisur is only the Rabbanon, there's no Yisur deraisa, but there is an Yisur deRabbanon, so you would only be mekel if it's b'mok m'choylu shem b'sakon. So the Mishlei Melech, when the Rambam quotes that din of shalak derech achilosoi, so the Mishlei Melech raises the question, we know from the Gemara that shalak derech achilosoi, low is the level of the Yisur achile to make it only an Yisur deRabbanon. If you had a regular chazer, you ate it normally, it would be an Yisur deraisa. Now that you ate a shalak derech achilosoi, it's only an Yisur deRabbanon. What about in mitzvahs? What if there's a mitzvah to eat something, you'll eat it, shalak derech achilos. Should you say shalak derech achilos, you're not yotze the mitzvah or not? So he's not sure what Rashi meant over here. Rashi says, "Mecheh begoma eran liyotze derech avasa bepesach, why delab derech achilo kochalei?" Rashi means to say that a shalak derech achilosoi, to take a matzah and to liquefy it, that shalak derech achilosoi. Rashi means to say that you have to have achila as opposed to shtia. If you liquefy that shtia, that's not achila. So that's why you're not yotze. Lav derech achila means that he's doing shtia. A lav derech achila means he's doing an abnormal act. Shalak derech achila. So Mishlei Melech is not sure exactly where Rashi is driving at. So that's what some achrayim say. What, the guy's crazy? He's going to eat horseradish, a chunk of horseradish like this is going to burn his heart out. It's going to burn a hole in his stomach. You have to eat a dafka ground up. Nobody ever eats it one piece like this. It's some tiny that if you eat it one piece without chopping it up, you won't be out in the mitzvah because of shalak derech achilos along the lines of that Mishlei Melech and the Rashi. If you do a mitzvah achilos, shalak derech achilos, then you're not yotze. Achila. Eating food is something that animals do. Everybody eats food. The Jews, the non-Jews, l'shem kedusha, not l'shem kedusha, everybody eats food. So the Gemara has a chiddush din that if you want to declare achila as a mitzvah, you're going to eat the Korban Pesach, you're going to eat matzah, you're going to eat mora. If you want to declare that it should be considered a kiyama mitzvah, you have to eat it separately from the rest of the food that's constitutes a mitzvah. If you eat a dvar mitzvah with a dvar hashus, so then the Gemara says you kill the kiyama mitzvah from the eating of the dvar mitzvah. Osi dvar hashus, umavatalei le dvar mitzvah. So the Gemara says, if you, let's say you eat matzah and you put on some peanut butter or something, you shmir on something, that's not part of the mitzvah. So then the Gemara says that'll kill the mitzvah. You won't be out to the mitzvah of matzah, because to eat peanut butter, that's a dvar hashus. So then you're treating the matzah as if it's just plain food, like the bamis eat, like the goyim eat. Also, that's not a mitzvah. The Gemara says you have to be careful. Whenever there's a mitzvah of achila, that's on kuf tezvav hanal. Whenever there's mitzvah sachil, you have to have that the mitzvah sachil should be separate from achilas arishus.
What's the svara to say in the Mishnah of Stavim? What's the svara to say that the Gemara says that by Yisurim that any time the Torah said eichel, so we have a din that there's a way you should eat it. Why wouldn't you apply that to eichel?
He's just trying to find an explicit source. He's not saying a svara. He's not sure. Maybe that klal only applies to Yisuri achila. Maybe it doesn't apply to mitzvahs. I don't know. The Pashta says it should be the same. It should be like. So there the Gemara talks about a lot of people make a mistake when they dip the mora into karpa, into charoises, so they pile on a whole heap of charoises and eat the mora together with charoises. So the Gemara seems to say that that's not correct. The Gemara says you should shake off the charoises, because al pi pashtus there is no mitzvah in eating charoises, the mitzvah is in eating mora. So if you're going to eat mora with charoises, so the achilas dvar hoshus, the eating of the charoises, is going to be mevatel the mitzvah of achilas hamora. What if you eat matzah with mora together, each one is a mitzvah, but they're two distinct mitzvahs, so that's a machlekes hatanoim. Those were the three opinions of kuf tezvav and al machlekes hillel, two rabbis with three opinions. Machlekes hillel and achachamim. Or you have to dafki eat the matzah and the mora together, you have to dafki eat matzah and mora separately, or it's optional. If you want, you can eat them together, if you want, you can eat them separately. And that's how the Rambam passes. The middle of the road sheet. If you want to eat it together, it's good. You want to eat it separately, it's good. The Rambam doesn't say it as because elu v'elu. He doesn't say it because there are two opinions in Tanaim. He says that is the din, that you have optional. You can either do like this or like that. But the Gemara has all the three svaras, whether dafke together or dafke separately, or each person has the option of either eating together or eating separately. We have the practice of washing before we dip the carpus into the salt water. So the Gemara explains what it's based on. Mishnah's Kuf Yudal and Manala. What is that based on? That you have to wash until it's Yadayim before you dip the carpus into salt water? So the Gemara says there is a klal, the Dovshit Tvulu B'mashke, requires Netilas Yadayim. Why should that be the case? Because Yadayim, Stam Yadayim Hashni Yasein, Stam Yadayim Haskani Yasein. So they made Xerah Derabbanan that we treat Stam Yadayim as if they have the status of a Sheni Letum. On the din of their Isa, that's an impossibility for two reasons. First of all, Adam can never be a Sheni Letum. Adam is either, if he's dead, he becomes, we give him an honorary degree, he's Avi Avos Atumah. And if he's alive and attended someone else's funeral, so the mace is the Avi Avos, and he's an Avatumah. And if he touched an Avatumah, he becomes a Rishon Atumah. But if he touches Rishon Atumah, Rishon Atumah can't be Metami Adam Mekan, can only Metami Yachlam and Mashkim. That's on the first daf in Baba Kama. That base of Menal. The Gemara says the difference between an Avatumah and a Tolda is that an Av can be Metami any one of the four. Adam Mekan, Yachlam and Mashkim. And a Rishon Atumah can only transmit Tumah to Yachlam and Mashkim. It cannot transmit Tumah to Adam Mekelem. So number one, an Adam can never be a Sheni. Number two, it's impossible that part of the body should be Tomei, part of the body should be Tor. It doesn't exist on the level of the rest. And see, they invented a new concept that Stam Yadayim HaShniyah Sein, the rest of the body is Tor, and only the hands are Stam Yadayim HaShniyah Sein. So what's the problem? So a Sheni, if there's something that's Tomei to the extent of a Sheni and it comes in contact with Truma, so it'll passel the truma. One will not be allowed to eat the truma. So who's eating truma? No one's eating any truma. So they made a gzerim of the Rabbanon. This man that there were still people who were eating truma, still people are eating kachim, that shdam yadayim ashniya, so if you'll touch truma, you'll passel the truma. So kol ha-paisel sa truma, mitayim es ha-mashkim liyos tchila. If you'll touch water, if a person's hands are sheni, shdam yadayim haskani is saying, if his hands are a sheni, if he would touch truma, he would passel the truma. A coin wouldn't be allowed to eat it. So they made a separate gzera. That's gzera number one. So they made a second step in gzera, that those hands that could passel truma, if he touches water, it makes the water into rishon l'tumah. The tumah goes up a level. Normally, the tumah as it's transmitted goes down. Someone comes in contact with a mace, and the mace is avi avos atumah. The one that came in contact with the mace becomes an avatumah. Then he touches someone else, the other person becomes a rishon l'tumah. Then he touches some mochel and mashke and makes it a sheni l'tumah. Then the sheni touches some truma, makes it a shlishin. The shlishin touches kachim, makes it a revi, and touches paraduma, makes it a chamishin. Whenever the tumah is transmitted, it always goes down a madrega. Here is a psachumra mid the rabbanon that it goes up a madrega. That stam yadai mashniyo saying, so if he touches mashkim, Metamis hamashkim liyos tchilei makes the mashkim into a rishon l'tumah. So it's a rishon l'tumah. So what's the great tragedy? So it'll be a rishon l'tumah. So the answer is no, but it's going to dip in the karpas. So the karpas is going to become a sheni l'tumah. The water is going to be metamis the karpas, and if you're going to swallow that karpas, is going to make you tummy. Going to make me tummy. I was just at a funeral last week. Of course I'm tummy. I'm an avatumah. What do you have to make me tummy by eating karpas which came in contact with mashkim that are rishon? So the karpas is a sheni, and there's a tumas agviya. There's a gzera mid the rabbanon. Also in the Mishnayos and Shabbos in the first parak, among the 18 gzeras that Beis Shammai voted Beis Hillel, so one of them is tumas agviya. Tumas aguf gimel vav yud hey. Tumas agviya means tumas aguf, tumah of the body. That a person who eats or drinks mashkim tmeim or ochlim tmeim, so there's a dim in the rabbanon that he becomes tummy. So he becomes tummy. He's tummy anyway. So the answer is no. But bizman amigdosh, when most people were careful to be tahor, so such a person wouldn't be allowed to eat truma if he happens to be a kohen. Wouldn't be permitted to eat ma'aser sheni b'Yerushalayim. Wouldn't be because la'achal tibiyatam imena b'tummy, and not allowed to consume the ma'aser sheni in a state of tuma. Whether you're in the state of tuma, the ma'aser sheni is in the state of tuma. And you're not allowed to eat korbanos. So the question is, so what does it have to do with us? Bizman is that no kohanim are eating any truma, and no one's eating ma'aser sheni, and no one's eating korban pesach. So what's the whole din? So Tosfos Taka says, the bottom of Kuf Tezvav and Aleph, the whole din doesn't apply bizman is that. The whole din only applies bizman that they were still medaktik in truma v'tar. But bizman is that the whole halacha doesn't apply. The Rambam and the Mechaber write that it's a din. Once the Chachamim instituted this takana de rabbanon, they have to wash until it's yadayim before you're going to eat the davshit tevula b'mashke, because they were so concerned about the Adayim. Shnia is going to make the mashkin into a rishon, going to make the food that you're going to dip in into a sheni. Then you're going to eat the food. Someone's going to eat the food. They're going to become tummy. They won't realize it. And then they're going to eat the truma. They're going to eat kachim. They're going to eat maaseh sheni. So the Rambam's opinion is that once they made the gzera d'rabban, it said the gzera applies even if you live in a generation where the whole time gzera doesn't apply. So that's the shaila. What about bizman hazeh? Does it still make sense that we're washing the tilos adayim for karpas? So the Rambam and the Mechaber and the Vilna Gaon felt, yeah, you got to wash with a bracha. You got to wash and say bracha on the tilos adayim before havoitzi. You wash with a bracha before karpas as well. You wash before karpas as well. The only shaila is, does it make sense to wash before karpas if you're only going to eat less than a kazayis? So you wash without a bracha. If you're going to eat a dovish, it's only mitamayu if you eat a kazayis. If you eat less than a kazayis, it's not mitamayu. So the whole gzeira only applies if you're going to eat a kazayis. And Mechaber recommends you should eat less than a kazayis of karpas because of the shaila of hepsik. We discussed that already. The Tosis has two opinions. This is on Kufta as well. Manal has two opinions. How come we don't say Bar Pi Adama when we eat the maror in the middle of the meal? So one opinion is we did say Bar Pi Adama. He said Bar Pi Adama over the karpas. It's supposed to have in mind that this should cover the karpas and the maror, because the karpas is not covered with hamotzi because it doesn't fill in. Horseradish doesn't fit in with the rest of the meal, and even our main lettuce doesn't. According to that opinion, doesn't fit in. It's not considered Dvar Mabay Machmas Al Sudah, so it requires a separate Bar Pi Adama. And the other opinion in Tosis is no. If it would require its own Bar Pi Adama, the Bar Pi Adama that you see before Karpas wouldn't help because it's such a long pause. That's a hepsik. From the time that he says Bar Pi Adama over the Karpas till he gets to eat the Mor, it's going to take forever. So there's a Hesach Hadas in between. So you can't rely on that Bar Pi Adama. The end says you rely on the Hamoitzi. Right, but it's not normal to eat horseradish in the middle of the meal. Tonight it's on the menu. Tosis says, tonight the Rabbanu Shalom put it on the menu. Or the Rabbanim, or the Rabbanim, Mara Bizman Azezman, the Rabbanim said, the Chachamim put it on the menu. So it's considered Dvar Mahaboyim Machmas HaSudim. So that's why it says in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Maharam Ritmerg, you should go to Chumra in both directions. You should eat, you should have in mind when you say Bar Pi Adam over the Karpas, that the Bracha should cover the Marar that you plan to eat after you have Hamoitzi. But on the other hand, you should eat less than a Kazayas, because according to the other Rishonim, the Marar that you eat in the middle of the meal doesn't require a Bracha. And Adarabba, the bracha that you say over the Bar Pi Adama, over the karpas, wouldn't help for the maror because it's such a long pause, it's a hesach hadas. So it'll come out 2 days, it'll come out of machlekes and tais. After you finish eating your karpas, should you say Bar Nefesh Sana? Should one recite Bar Nefesh Sana? If you hold that it's really a hesach hadas between the eating of the karpas and the eating of the maror, so it's a hesach hadas, so you better say Bar Nefesh. But if you hold like the other opinion, it's not a hesach hadas. Adarabba, that's the whole reason. That's what Rabbi Yosef Tuvelim writes in his piyut for Shabbos HaGadol. That's the whole reason why they introduced the bracha Bar Pi Adama on the karpas to cover the maror later on. So they hold that there is no hesach hadas. So because of this machlekes, whether you should say a bar nefesh and same after the karpas or not, so that's why the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Midas Chasidus from the Maharam Rittenberg. You should always be careful to eat less than a kazayis of karpas because of the suffering. Yeah.
I mean, isn't it a riot against those who?
That's part of the problem, yeah. If eating horseradish is totally abnormal, so then it should be shahakol, right? That's one of the problems against horseradish.
Don't you see the other from Kamashani that come like by full yom? So
full yom is the Rabbanim we treat like a sheni, but on the level of their eyes it doesn't exist. He's not a sheni. But for Yom the din is that if he touches truma, he passes it. But it's not that he's a sheni and he makes the truma into a shlishi. Even with the Rabbanim, I don't think that Tfilyom is a sheni to make it into a shlishi. It's just the din that a Tfilyom passes the truma.
There's no din of Moshe Tuma al Tumaso by the Rabbanim onto the Raisa. If I'm now going to be, I'm Tame Mes, but I'm there. Now I would need Tfilah because there's an Isser to be Mesif even a Tuma de Rabbanim.
Yeah.
So that would be a reason why they even need to deal with the mana there.
Why? Can't eat truma v'kachim anyway. He's a tummy mace anyway. What he may say if tumal tamasa? Nothing. Ben kavakai can't eat truma v'kachim. Nothing. He
doesn't
make the situation worse.
In the Nogeya, in the Kever, there's still an Isser to be Meisif.
Kohen is not permitted to be Mitami to Meis. Yeah. So even if the Kohen is tummy anyway for the next 7 days, and he's got to touch a kever again today, and it's not being maisif an additional day of tumah. So kain is forbidden to be mitami himself. But over here, what's the problem? So this is a major machlokes. So the Vilna Gaon follows the Rambam, who goes all the way that you got to wash until the time with the bracha. And obviously, tevulah b'mashmi. The only thing is, if you plan to eat less than kazayas, then it's not going to be mitame you. So then you wash without a bracha. Then you wash without a bracha. If you wash at all, you wash without a bracha. And Taisa's opinion is that the whole takana derabbanan davishet tevulah b'mashmi requiring until sedaim doesn't apply b'zman hazeh. It only applies b'zman that you have kodshim, you have truma to eat, you have ma'aser sheni to eat. But b'zman hazeh that we don't have anybody eating any of the above. So according to Tosafot's opinion, you don't need the whole Netilas Yadayim for the Dabshit Tevulah B'Mashkin. So that's why many of the Yekkes had a practice that written in their Svarim, that when they wash Karpas before the Kaddish Urchatz Karpas, and when you wash Netilas Yadayim before Karpas, only the father of the household would wash. They wouldn't have everybody wash. Because Mikradin, they follow Tos. Mikradin, you don't have to wash with Dabshit Tevulah B'Mashkin. It's only to make a Zechel HaMikdash. A Zechel HaMikdash must speak. It's sufficient if the father of the household makes a Zechel HaMikdash. That's why a lot of Yekkes have a special basin for the father of the household to wash the Tilas Yadayim for Karpas. For Hamoitzi, everybody's going to wash. So that basin is not enough for the whole family. Just for one person's washing, that's when the father of the household washes before Karpas. So that was their practice, that only one person washed the Tilas Yadayim, because that was assumed to be a Zechel HaMikdash. He mentioned, the Rambam writes, when you eat the Karpas, you should eat the Kazayas. So the Hagos Maimon writes on the bottom, this whole Chumra from the Mamrut Merk B'davka, not to eat the Kazayas. Because according to some Rishonim, it's a Hesach Hadas between the Bar Pi Adom over the Karpas, and the eating of the mara later on in the middle of the meal, so since it'll be a hesach hadas, so you should say really, bar nefesh is in between. And other shanim say, there's no hesach hadas. He knows in advance that he's going to have to eat the mara later on. It's no hesach hadas. So you should not say bar nefesh, because of that machlekes, that's why the Maharam Rutmerg recommended you should eat less than a kazayis of karpas. Because that karpas is not a mitzvah sachila, there's no reason to require a kazayis. But the Rambam says you should eat a kazayis of karpas. So the Agos Mami on the bottom of the page says that the Maharam Rutmerk thought that was a misprint in the Rambam, because the Rambam later on the same page, a few lines later, when he writes that there's a mitzvah to eat maror, failed to mention that there's a mitzvah to eat a kazayis of maror. That's more important. He should have said you have to eat a kazayis maror. When he describes the mitzvah maror, he says you eat a kazayis. But over here, when he gives you the description of the whole Seder, he didn't mention that you have to have a kazayis. So that's the suggestion of the Maharam Rutmerk. Maybe the line in the Rambam where it says you have to eat a kazayis of karpas, maybe that's a misprint. Maybe that should be later than when he says you eat maror, he writes you should eat a kazayis of maror. But he thinks that maybe there's no need for kazayis of karpas. And others are medaktik, but afka to eat a kazayis of karpas, because that's the way it says in the Rambam, in all the editions of the Rambam. Midirabbanan, they made a takana that you have to have a mitzvah sachil on karpas, and eat achil of chusim kazayis. Yeah, how do we know that we should assume like that? That even though the reason, the motivation to institute karpas is kadeshi shalo hatinoikais, but once they institute the eating of karpas, then they institute it as a mitzvah sachila midrabbana. Where is their hachocha to that position? So the Rambam quotes from the Rif. What's the din if there's only one person in the whole community, the rabbi who's learned enough to know how to do a seder? So let them have a community seder. So the Rambam and the Rif say no. Each balabas wants to make his own seder. So how's the Rambam? But they don't know how to say it. They don't know how to recite the whole seder. So the Rambam quotes the Rif, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes this from the Rambam. Let the rabbi go from home to home to home, recite the Kiddush and recite the Avonim Hayinu on the Far B'Mitzrayim and Asher Gi'alanu, and let him recite all the brachas for the balabatim, lead them through the whole seder. One home to the next, home to the next, and he'll get home doomsday. He'll go home at 3 o'clock in the morning. He'll wake up his wife and his children. It's time to make Kiddush. We got to have a seder. So the Rambam describes like that. The rabbi goes in this, instead of making a communal seder, the whole community eating together, one big seder. The Rambam describes the rabbi going from home to home to home, saying all the brachas on behalf of the balabatim. So the Rosh analyzes this institution. Says, what do you mean? The rabbi says Kiddush for the balabatim because the balabatim don't know how to say Kiddush. Okay, that's acceptable. That's the rule of Yatzamayitz. Then the rabbi is going to say Shechianu, also covered with Yatzamayitz. Even though the rabbi doesn't want to be Yotze Shechianu, he wants to say his own Kiddush later when he gets home, he can say Shechianu for them, even though he's not going to be Yotze with them. How does the rabbi say Bar Pia Gofen for the Balabatim if he's not drinking the wine? Bar Pia Gofen is Decha Bicha Sanenen. So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, at the end of the third parak, that Bar Pia Gofen of Kiddush, Hamotzi of Achilas Matzah, can also be covered with Yotze Motzi. The Rambam writes that you have Yotze Motzi and the Bar Pia Adoma of the Karpas. And the rabbi is not nibbling along with the Balabatim. He's going to go home later and he's going to make his own Seder. He's going to say Bar Pia Adoma at home later. So why is he permitted to recite the Bar Pia Adoma on the Karpas when he's not going to eat at all from the Karpas, just the Balabatim are going to eat? How is that not a violation of Kol HaBrachas Kulam in Yotze Eina Moitzi Chutz Min Birchas HaMitzvah on the Birchas Shevach HaYidoy? This is a regular Birchas HaNen. How can he say Bar Pia Adoma to be Moitzi the Balabatim? So the Rosh adds on one line. Rabbi Kivega on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rosh, who adds on one line. Since the Chachamim were misakin that you have to eat karpas, so that's a chayva. So the Bar Pia Adoma is treated like the Bar Pia Gofen of Kiddush. It's treated like the Hamotzi of Al Achilas Matzah. In other words, the Bar Pia Adoma of karpas is part of the Haggadah. On the whole Haggadah, you say Yotze Motzi. Why is it part of the Haggadah? Because it's a mitzvah achila on karpas, but the Rabbanan, not just a gimmick to keep the Sheisha lo Hatinoikas. Not just the Echitimsa. It's part of the text of the Haggadah to say Bar Pia Adoma before you have the karpas. So that's why the Rambam sounds like he holds that you really need a kazayas. Unless you say it's a misprint, but no editions, no kisveyat have it like that. No one has it as a misprint. We assume that that's really the Rambam's opinion. You're supposed to eat a kazayas of karpas. Our practice is that we have the Haggadah Mamre on the bottom of the Rambam. Gives you the simonim of the Seder as we have. Kaddish Uchatz, Karpas Yachatz. Not everybody follows that Seder. The Rambam did not have that Seder. The Rambam has Yachatz way later. Before you say Hamoitzi, after Netilas Yadayim, before you're about to say Hamoitzi, so normally you say Hamoitzi and then you crack the matzahs. Or you cut the chalas. And on Pesach night, you do the reverse. You take two matzahs and you break one of the two matzahs before Hamoitzi. So you only say Hamotzi over 1.5 matzahs. That's how the Rambam has Yachatz before you're about to say Hamotzi al Achilas Matzah. But we have the Seder as it's described, as it's listed off in the Haggadah Mamre on the bottom of the Rambam. We have Yachatz after Karpas. Karpas Yachatz before Magid, before you begin the whole Sipi Tzias Mitzrayim. Magid means Sipi Tzias Mitzrayim. So why do we have Yachatz at that point? So the Maharal Prag in his commentary on the Haggadah explains Al Pi Pashtus. The Gemara had two different drushes on Kuf Tezayin and Aleph. Gemara has a few drushes on the expression Lechem Oinim. So one expression, one comment is Lechem She'oinim Aleph Dvarim Harbei. The other comment is Madaki Shaloni Beprusa Avkam Beprusa. You should have a broken matzah. So our practice is that we have a prusa in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Lechem She'oinim Aleph Dvarim Harbei. You have to have the matzah on the table when you recite the Magid, when you say the Sipi Tzias Mitzrayim. So what kind of a matzah should you have on the table? Should you have a shleim or should you have a prusa? So the Maharal Mipraq says, that's our practice. We do yachatz before we do Magid. You want to have a lechem only, a prusa, to serve as the lechem she'oinim aleph dvarim harbei. We combine the two drushes together. It's more correct to recite the Sipi Tzias Mitzrayim to tell the story over a broken matzah as opposed to over a shleim. That's the halacha. Lechem she'oinim aleph dvarim harbei has to be lechem only, a prusa. We put the two together, should be a prusa from the beginning. That's our practice. Then we have the Magid. The Magid is the mitzvah of Sipi Tzias Mitzrayim. We mentioned that even Bizman Azeh, the Gemara says that Sipi Tzias Mitzrayim is a mitzvah min HaTorah because matzah is still min HaTorah. The Gemara says on that daf on Amid Beis, Kuf Tezayin Amid Beis, if the mitzvah matzah Bizman Azeh would have been only the Rabbanan, like there was such an opinion in the days of that time, and not only would matzah be mitzvah rabbanon, then the Sipi Tzias Mitzrayim would also be mitzvah rabbanon. You only have the mitzvah of Sipi Tzias Mitzrayim if you have Babazeh, the Lamakta L'Bashosh Shesh Matzah Mor Munach Mulfanecha. So the Zman HaMikdash, you have Babazeh, you have the Korban Pesach. The Zman HaMikdash said we have no Korban Pesach, the Mor is only mitzvah rabbanon. So do we have anything that we can demonstrate? Baba Zeh. Ela b'shoshu munach lefanecha. So if matzah is deraisa, then sipitzis mitzayim is deraisa in conjunction with the matzah. If matzah is only the rabbanon, so the whole sipitzis mitzayim is only the rabbanon. So we paskin, the Gemara paskins that matzah is deraisa. So the Meili should have Baba Zeh l'amayta b'shoshesh matzah, the Gemara is only with the rabbanon today. B'shoshesh matzah munach lefanecha, munachas lefanecha. So you have to make sure that you have a matzah, preferably a broken matzah, munach lefaneinu. And then we tell over the story of Sipitzias Mitzrayim. The Mefarshim point out that the two distinct mitzvahs all year long, the mitzvahs, Zechira Sitzias Mitzrayim, Lahaska, just to mention briefly, Bayom Balayla, that's how we pass. Kol Yimechayecha, Yimechayecha, Yamim Kol Yimechayecha, Halilot. It's a mitzvah to mention Zechira Sitzias Mitzrayim, to mention Sitzias Mitzrayim, Bayom Balayla, in the third parsha of Shema. And on Pesach night, not only a mitzvah to mention it, like all year long, the mitzvah of Zechira, it's a mitzvah l'saper. L'saper means kol amar b'l'saper reza mishubach, to tell a story b'arichas. So that's one distinction between the mitzvah of Zechira all year long and the mitzvah of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim. Then there's another distinction between the two. That the mitzvah of Zechira Yetzias Mitzrayim all year long by Yom HaBalayla doesn't have to be in conjunction with any of the mitzvahs. You don't have to have anything there in front of you. Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim on Pesach night should be Barbazeh. Barbazeh lo amartem b'shoshesh matzah mor menachem lefanach, has to be in conjunction with one of the mitzvahs alayla. One or more of the mitzvahs alayla. And not only Barbazeh, l'chadchila should be v'yigadat levincha b'yom ahu lemor v'yiki yisholcha b'incha mocha lemor ma habayruz os lachem, and so on. So from the Pesukim it would appear that l'chadchila, the more correct way to fulfill a mitzvah of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim on Pesach night is the Kana Ben Shoyl. The children ask, "Vayikri Shalch Min Chamach Aleimar, Mazois, whatever." Keneged Abba Banim Dibeter. The children should l'chadchila ask questions, and we should give them the answers about Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim Barichas, Kalamar B'Lesaper Eizem Meshubach, and the answers should revolve about the mitzvah Salayim. So that's why we have the Manishtana Laila Zeh, where we spell out all of that appears in Kuf Tezvav Ben Aleph, Kuf Tezayin Ben Aleph. So we spell out all of the various mitzvahs Alayla in the Manishtana. So the mitzvah L'chadchila is to tell about the Yetzias Mitzrayim Barichis, Derech Sheila Tshuva L'chadchila from our child. If you don't have children, so or descendants, from some other person, chatchil from another person, and the answer should be given, the sipitz in time should be given by way of explanation of the mitzvah sayyam. And then the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Gamliel, Hayom, Mekol Shalom, Shloshim, Bar, Mele, Bepesach, Lo Yotze, Yedech, Havas, Reel, Haim, Pesach, Matzah, Mar, Pesach, Shohei, Abisein, Ochel, Mal, Shema, and Matzah, Zu, Shon, Ochel, Mal, Shema, etc. So that's a shayla, Kol Shalom, Shloshim, Bar, Mele, Bepesach, that's to be taken literally. That's the top line of Kuf Tezayin on the base. To be taken literally, there is mamish not yotzei yedechai vasa. That's where Rabbi Gamliel went over here. Rabbi Gamliel hayom mekol shalom mishlosh shalom mevelach sot lo yotzei yedechai vasa. So the Rambam says, yeah, you're not yotzei the mitzvah of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim. The only way to fulfill the mitzvah of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim is by explaining the mitzvah salayla, to give the story, the history, by way of explaining the mitzvahs of Pesach, Matzah, Umara. So the Rabbam seems to hold that this is the essence, Lo Yotzei Yedechai Vasa, this is the essence of the mitzvah of Magid, of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Ramban and the Ran learn a different shot, Lo Yotzei Yedechai Vasa, you're not yotzei the mitzvah of Matzah. If in conjunction with the Achilos HaMatzah, you don't explain what the mitzvah is supposed to represent, or in conjunction with the mitzvah of Achilos Mora, you don't explain what the Mora is supposed to represent, then you're not yotzei the mitzvah. Lo Yotzei Yedechai Vasa, so the Ramban says, not to be taken literally, Lo Yotzei Yedechai Vasa, period. Imam is not Yotzei. You're not Yotzei the mitzvah min ha-mufcher. The mitzvah Bishlei Musa is that you should explain why there's a mitzvah to eat matzah, why there's a mitzvah to eat mar, and so on. So the Ramban learns, Lo Yotzei Yedechai Vasa is not Yotzei the mitzvah of Pesach, matzah, and mar. It's not fully Yotzei. A little bit he is Yotzei. Tells obviously Pitzis Mitzray. But he didn't explain the mitzvahs alayla. So the Ramban says, not yet to the mitzvah Pesach Matzah. The Rambam learns, not yet to the mitzvah of Haggadah, not yet to the mitzvah of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim. Two different pshatim. And what it means, lo yotzei yedechai vasa.
The question is, if
according to the Ramban, sorry, that should be a makar and Nashim are chayavos in Sipur.
Nashim should be chayavos
in Sipur.
Why?
Part of the mitzvah of matzah is telling about the matzah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Could well be. That's one of the arguments that's presented. Yeah. We were discussing the other day the din of chomitz over all of our Pesach. The Gemara says on Chav Ches on the days that there are three psukim. Rabbi Yehuda holds there are three psukim. One pasuk, three times it says Nechubi should not allowed to eat chomitz. What do you need three psukim? Is a repeat. The Gemara says not a repeat. One pasuk goes, you're not allowed to eat chomitz for the duration of the Shivus Miyam Pesach. The other pasuk goes, on Erev Pesach after Hatzais. Not only is there an Isra Asayev Tashbisu, there's an Isra Loisa Asay. If you eat chomitz, you get malchus. And the third pasuk goes on chomitz over all of our Pesach has nothing to do with having violated any avera. Even if the person didn't violate any avera at all, chomitz over our Pesach is an isa derais. Even chemtzu shalakum over all of our Pesach would constitute an isa derais. The Gemara says we don't pasuk like Rabbi Yehuda, we pasuk like Rabbi Shimon because the Mishnah says so. I'm called chesam and aleph. Chomitz over nachri shavu over Pesach muta ba'anasim shal Yisrael shos. So that shows that we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. That the Mishnah indicates that we pass like Rabbi Shimon. The Chomish Ala Pesach is only a penalty mid Rabban. So the Gemara writes on Lamed Amud Aleph another Nafkemina Ledina in this Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon. But the Chomish Ala Pesach is in Isa Derais and Isa Rabban. The main Nafkemina is it only Chemtzu Shal Yisrael or even Chemtzu Shal Akum? According to Rabbi Yehuda, Chemtzu Shal Akum, Shal Pesach also was. The Gemara has another Nafkemina. Do I have to throw out all of my Chomitz Diki Kalin after Pesach? I have Chomitz Diki Kalin sitting in the cabinet, they have a Bli of Chomitz. So the Bli of Chomitz, the Gemara seems to assume that there is no Bal Yerah by Matzah. Mitzad the Bli of Chomitz, you don't have to be worried for Bal Yerah by Matzah. But still, it'll be a Machlekes, Reb Yehuda, Reb Shimon, whether the pots will become treif and you'll have to kashu all the chametz dikikelim after Pesach because of chametz for all of our Pesach. So Gemara works it like this. If the did is like Rab Shimon, that's how we paskin. The chametz for all of our Pesach is only a penalty with the Rabbanim because one has violated by Rabbi Matzei, so they penalize him and that penalty should serve as a deterrent and no one should violate by Rabbi Matzei. So then you don't introduce any penalty on Bliyas Kelim because there is no Bal Yerah at all on Bliyas Kelim. Bal Yerah by Matzah is only on food, not on Bliyas and Kelim. But if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, so that's the way we pass in Lalach. We pass in like Rabbi Shimon. Chomish over all of our Pesach is only a penalty in the Rabbanan. And therefore, we pass in Mikra Din, you don't even need Shishim. We spoke the other day, Machlek Zrashi in the Tur. But Chomish over all of our Pesach is a bottle Beroy versus a bottle B'Shishim. So the Mishnah Berurah says, if you ever have some Merubah, you can rely on Rashi. Rashi Shita in the Pirish Amilis and the Gemara is that it's enough with a roiv, you don't even need shishim against it. It's just a chumer midirabbanan, and they only made the penalty if it's b'yev. Whatever it's ayidei tarubis, whatever it's not b'yev, it's batal b'roiv, and you don't need shishim. So lechatchila we require shishim because of the shita satur. But the Mishnah Berurah says, if you have a hefsim merubah, you can rely on Rashi, that roiv is enough. So then the Gemara has a third nafkamina based on the fact, first nafkamina is achem to shalakum, Shabbat about Pesach is muta. There is no penalty. We do it all the time. After Pesach is over, we go shopping in the goyish stores. Second afkamin is that according to Rashi, it's bottle berov. You don't need shishim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the chomish al Pesach is in Isa deraisa. Of course, you're going to say tam kiki. You need shishim. Third afkamin is whether you say chomish al Pesach is chalam blias kelim. That there's no bal yerah by matzah blias kelim. So if the din would be like Reb Shimon as it is, Chomish Alav Pesach is only a penalty with the Rabbanon, so you don't have to worry about the Chomitz Dika Blias in the Kelim. You put away a Chomitz Dika Kelim, and after Pesach you can use it. Nobody violated by Yerah by Matzah on the Blias in the Chomitz Dika Kelim. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, even Chemtzu Shalakum Sha'ova Olav HaPesach is also Bachilas. So it's not, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not a penalty for ones having violated by Yerah by Matzah. It's a Din Deraisa, it's not a penalty. The Issa Chomitz is Chal on Pesach and all Chomitz in creation, in existence. Even if it belongs to Nachri, even if it's a Bli of Chomitz in a pot. So also the Issa Chomitz is Chal. So it's not going to help after Pesach is over. It's going to be a Nisa Deraisa to cook in those pots. So the pots will be klisheinu ben yoma, so it'll be akzeireinu ben yoma to ben yom. So according, if the din would have been like Rabbi Yehuda, which it isn't, if the din would have been like Rabbi Yehuda, the chomesh over all of our pesach is an isa deraisa, not a penalty of the rabbanon, then would be the isa chomesh over our pesach would be chal, even on blias kalim. You have to cash all of pesach dika pots and pans after pesach. The china dishes that don't lend themselves to kashering, you would have to throw out. So we never throw out our pots. We never kasher the chomesh dika kalim. The only kasher the kalim that you want to use on pesach. Chomes the kikelim that you're putting away in the cabinet, you don't kasha. We don't throw out china plates that are chomets dik. After Pesach is over, we use them. So that's because we pass like Reb Shimon. The chomets over all of our Pesach was only instituted as a penalty with Rabbanon in a situation where the owner violated by Rabbi Matzah. So on B'liyas Kelim, there is no by Rabbi Matzah. But if the din would have been like Reb Yudin, the chomets over all of our Pesach would have been in Issa Deraisa. So the Issa would even apply to B'liyas Kelim. How did the Gemara know that that's true? That's the whole story in Lamed Amud Aleph. How did the Gemara know? Gemara tells the story that Shmuel visited the community of Rav, and he saw that Rav happened to hold like this Tana Reb Yehuda, that all the Chomets Dika Kelim can't just be put away in the cabinet. You have to kashu all the Chomets Dika Kelim, and if you have china dishes, you have to smash them. You have to throw them out because the bliya is going to make a tray for the unavoid. So that's what Rav held. So the merchants who used to sell the pots and the pans would every year come to the community of Rav and they would charge the balabat and they're selling them new pots and pans, new china dishes and so on. So Shmuel happened to be visiting, happened to be passing through the community, and Shmuel let it be known to the balabatim that he doesn't agree with their rabbi. Gemara says he's not allowed to paskin against Rav. Rav is the Mor Dastra. Rav is entitled to paskin the way he sees fit. Shmuel doesn't agree with him, but he's not allowed to publicize his shita because it's in contradiction to the psak of Rav, who is the Mor Dastra over here. But still, in order to frighten the merchants that they should knock down the price, so Shmuel told the merchants, you better not overcharge the customers, or I will let them know that I don't agree with everything that the rabbi said here about the Kli Cheres. And the Balabatim will not have to buy so many pots and pans from you. I can cause you a big upset moment. So he told them, you better behave and not charge too much money. So how did the Gemara know this Chiddush Nifla? That if Yod HaChoyin Sha'ovah, all of our Pesach is in Issa Deraisa, could even be Chal on Blias Kelim. If Yod HaChoyin Sha'ovah, all of our Pesach is only a penalty, Midirabbanon, so you only introduce a penalty when somebody violated by Yerub, by Matzah Deraisa. There's no by Yerub, Blias Kelim. That's what we understand if you don't like Reb Shimon. But if the din would have been like Reb Yehuda, then the Issa Chomets would have been chal on the Blias Kelim, on the Bli and the Kelim, and then we would have been stuck. The Issa Chomets would be there even though there was no Bayur or Bay Matzah. Issa Chomets on the Pesach would be chal. How does the Gemara know that an Issa can be chal on a Bli and a Kli? So the answer is they got it from this week's Sedra. That's what the Chazan Ish writes. They got it from the Parsha of Mariko Shtifa. What is it saying today, Sedra? That's why the minig is, the Shulchan Aruch said the minig is that you always like Parsha stop before Pesach, because it has about Hechshikelu. It has about Hagolah. So the laws of Hagolah are very relevant for Pesach. The Mar says you have to kashu all the chomets dikikelim if you plan to use them for Pesach. If you don't plan to use them on Pesach, there's no mitzvah to kashu them. If you would have held like Rav, who paskins like Rav Yehuda, you have to kashu all of your chomets dikikelim, because after Pesach, it'll all be treif. They'll all be chomets shalom Pesach. We don't pass like that. We paskin that it's only chomets shalom Pesach if you violated by Yerub, by Matzah. You don't violate by Yerub, Blias Kelim. So the Chumash has this Chiddush Din in Parsha's Mariko Shtifa, today's Parsha. It says, if somebody brought a Korban Chatas today, so the Chatas can only be eaten Yom V'Laila Ad Chatzos. So he takes the Korban Chatas and he cooks it in a pot. So that pot gets a bliya of Korban Chatos. So when it's going to come tomorrow morning, Alos HaShachar, just like the flesh of the Chatos becomes Nifsal Belino, so too the bliya and the Kli will also become Noisa. That's what the Chumash says, that the Issa Noisa is Chal and the bliya in the Kli. So that's what the Torah requires. We should kasha the Kli. Exactly when do you kasha the Kli? What are you concerned about? If you won't kasha the Kli, then you're going to cook tomorrow morning. You're going to cook a Shlomim from tomorrow. Our chatas from tomorrow, so it's going to have mixed into it a bliya from today's chatas, which is not allowed to be eaten after chatzos, yom v'laila chatzos. So that's why you have to kasha the treifa kli. Yeah. When exactly do you have to kasha the treifa kli? when you, the kli that you cook korbanos in, the kli that you cook kachim in, so that has a bliya of the kachim, and if the bliya will sit there in the kli till tomorrow morning, till alos hashachar, the bliya and the kli will become nicer, it will become treif. So that's a big machlek, is 2 days in Tosfos, in the end of Zvachim, and it's a machlek, is the Rambam and the Ravid in the Psulei Amos Goshen. The Rambam's opinion is that you kasha the kli ekev achila, immediately following the achila, the Kohanim finish eating the chatas by chatzos by midnight, and then they do a hagola on the kli. They do a hagola immediately. And the other opinion in Tosfos and the Ravid's opinion is no, but davki you have to wait till after chatzos, because it doesn't make sense to kasha a kli that's not treif. You have to wait till al pidin it becomes treif, namely after chatzos it becomes treif from the rabbana, or after alos hashachar when it becomes treif from the Torah. So then there's a meaningfulness, then there's a purpose, then there's a mashmaus to doing a hagolah. So the Ravid insists, like that opinion in Tosfos, that when do you have a mitzvah to do marika shtifa? Only after the kli already became treif, after the isa noisa already set in. And the Rambam insists not so, like the other opinion in Tosfos. That's the generally accepted opinion, the Rambam's opinion here, that you do the marika shtifa ekev achila, immediately following, on the heels of the achila, ekev, on the heels of the achila, before the bliya had a chance to become treif.
The sunnah is only to eat it after the zman, it's not to leave it over.
There's an issa to leave it over also. Yeah, but that's only when the food is bien and there's a mitzvah to eat it. So then there's an issa lesa simran abaker. That's a laugh not to leave over because you're mevat leesa of eating it. But on the bliya and the kli, there's no violation of lesa simran abaker. So that's why the Ravid holds like that one opinion in Tosfos, that the mitzvah to do Marika Shtifa only begins after it becomes nice. There's no purpose, there's no meaningfulness to do a Hagol on a Kli that didn't become treif yet. You have to wait till it becomes treif, namely after Alos HaShach, and then you do the Hagol. And the Rambam passes, no, you have to do it Ekev Achil, immediately following the Achila. Why? So the Gemara points out that in the end of Chumash Bamidbar, when you have the Geula Klei Midyon, so it says in the Torah that sometimes you have to do libun, and sometimes it's sufficient with hagola. When do you require libun? Kol davar she'yava b'esh, tavir b'esh. If the bliya kibola kach polter, if the bliya was aidei ha'esh, let's say it had baking tins, and the baked cake or cookies are chalas on these baking tins, so then the halacha requires it. You need libun. But if you have a pot that you cook soup in, and you cook spaghettis in the soup, or you cook barley in the soup, so that since it's since using water, so the pasuk says then it would be sufficient to do agola. So Mare is bothered with the question: how come by Kiyuli Klei Midyan it says sometimes you do leave and sometimes you do agola, and over here in Parshas Marika Shtifa and Parshas Sav it doesn't say a word about leaving; it just says about agola. Why doesn't it say that if you broil the korban chatas today, you have to do a libun in order to use that broiler to broil or to cook or to bake or whatever? Ashlamim rachatas tomorrow. How come it only mentions hagola? So the Gemara asks the kash. So the Gemara says the accepted answer of Rava, Achlok Zabai v'Rava, what's the answer? Zabai says, Yagad Olav Reyo. Once you have the psukim and parshas Geula Klei Midyan, that sometimes you need Liban and sometimes hagola is enough. So what? Dinami by Hechshikelim in parshas Tzav, by Merika Shtifa. Sometimes you'll need Liban, sometimes hagola will be good enough. And we pass like Rava, not like Abai. We don't accept that Teres Yagid Olav Reyo. Once you learn Geula Klei Midyan, so shed light on Parshas Tzav that you sometimes need Libun. No. Since in Parshas Tzav it's a Hetera Bola, at the time that the Bliya took place, everything is kosher. It'll only become nicer if you wait till tomorrow morning after Alos HaShachar. So Kli that should have normally, let's say a broiler, that should have normally required Libun, it only requires libun if it's an isura bola. If I broil treife birds on this broiler, but if I broiled kosher chicken on the broiler, kosher flesh, the only thing is that it becomes chreis a carbon. It's going to become nifsa belina tomorrow morning. So that's what the Rambam lies pshat. If I quickly do a hagola before this man iser, so the whole tam that will be left behind will be a tam kolush. And in Issa cannot be chal on a tam kolush. That's the official hesbah that the Ran gives. It's a long Ran in Kol HaBasar. Takes up a whole page in the Rif. There's no Rif on that page, only Ran. So the Ran explains this famous explanation, and that's the accepted explanation that's quoted in Yeridei. the two differences between Hetera Bola and Isura Bola. When you have a Kli that should have really required Libun, instead of doing Libun, you do Hagolah. So the Hagolah knocks out the Kishkas from the Bliya and the Kli. There's hardly any Bliya left. So the Bliya that remains behind when doing Hagolah B'makam that you should have required Libun, that Bliya that will remain behind will maximum be a Tam Kolush, if anything at all. And if it's only a Tam Kolush and you do the Hagolah Ekev Achila, immediately following the Achila, before Chatzos, so before Alos HaShachar, so then the Iser cannot be Chal at Alos HaShachar and a Tam Kolush. This can only be chal on a full-fledged tam. On a tam kol shi, it can't be chal. So the Ran explains the same is true regarding not banat the hetera. Not banat the hetera, the Gemara has like this. Let's say I have a pot that I cooked milk in. I cooked milk this morning, at 8 o'clock in the morning. Then I cook some water now, at 2:20, I cook some water in the pot, so the water becomes milchik, because the pot is milchik. If I would wait till tomorrow morning after 8:01, it will be Einam Bayom, Klisha Einam Bayom, it doesn't make anything trade. But if I'm cooking water within the first 24 hours, so it makes the water milchik. So am I permitted to take that milchik water and cook some and pour it into some chicken? Is there a problem on Basim B'chol? So the Gemara has a discussion, and we paskin, and the Ikar Adin, there's no problem on Basim B'chol. That's what we call Nais and Tam. Bar Nesen Tam. As the Rashi Tevis, we call Nesen Tam or Nesen Tam. We call it in short. In Yeridei, they call it Not Bar Not. Nesen Tam or Nesen Tam. What does it mean? Originally, I cooked milk in the pot and I washed out the pot. So you only have a tam of the milk balua in the Dov and the Hakdev after I washed out the pot. Now I cook water in the pot. So the water gets a bliya from the milchic flavor that was in the pot. The bliya goes into the water. So that's already Tam Sheni. So it's a Nesen Tam Bar Nesen Tam. Originally, there was a tam of the Cholov in the Dov and the Hakdev. Because I cooked the milk, I warmed up the milk in the kedera. And now I warm up water, part of a water, in the milchik pot. So the bliya goes from the milchik, in the doifneakli, into the water, and it's still kosher. The only shaila is, now I'm going to take that water, mix it with flesh. So the Gemara says, mikred, then that's muta. Nais and tam is only a tam kolush. And a nisa cannot set in on a tam kolush. A nisa cannot be chal on a tam kolush. Once you have a, let's say I cooked some chazer in a pot, and then I cooked water in the pot within 24 hours, so the water becomes treif. Then I'll pour this water onto another pot to make the other pot treif. Then I'll rinse out that pot, and I'll cook up some water. That water will become treif also. You can have nais and tam, nais and tam, nais and tam 1,000 times. If it's isura bala, so the nais and tam is only a tam kodesh. That's enough to preserve, to maintain an isa. But if you all you have left is a tam kodesh now, so it's not enough that an Issa should be chal on top of it. So these are the two nafkaminas ladina between hetera bola as opposed to isura bola. If you do a hagola on a kli that should have required libun, let's say I have a broiler that I always broil fleshes. I want to do parvana, I want to do milchiks. So medina di gemara, that's how we paskin also, it would be sufficient with hagola. I bet I always did the steaks or the cheese directly al gabi hoesh b'liam tzos amayim. I never had any soup. The halacha says it doesn't matter. Since it's a teira bola, everything is kosher. The only question is, will an isa basa b'chola be chal later? If I'll bake bread on the same baking tin, will an isa basa b'chola, will I be allowed to eat that bread together with fleishiks or not? Because it's milchik now. Over milchik because it's fleishik now. So then if it's going to be a nice and tam, by nice and tam, so then there's no problem. Nesen tam and nesen tam is a tam kolish and the isa basal chala can't be chal. Or if you have a broiler that became fleishig or became milchik and then you're going to do a hagola instead of doing libun, so the hagola will remove 98% of the tam. The little bit of tam that will be left behind is what we label as a tam kolish, and the isa basal chala can't be chal on a tam kolish. So here by Pesach, it's a big machlekes in the Rishonim. How do we treat Chometz Dikekelim before Pesach? Do we treat them as Hetera Bala, or do we treat them as Yisur Bala? So the Rabbi Netaman, Daf Lamed Omid Veis, the top of Lamed Omid Veis says, top Tosis, he says, when you want a Kashi Kelim for Pesach, you never need Libun. It's always enough with Hagolah, because it's always Hetera Bala. And Iran quotes the Ramban, who disagrees with the Rabbi Netaman. It's not true. He says, Chometz is Yisur Bala. When you have hetera bala, if you have cholov balay basa or basa balay cholov, it didn't become basa b'cholov yet. Or if you cook carbonus in a pot, it didn't become noisa yet. I cooked the carbon in pot before it became noisa. So then I'm going to do hagol on the pot after I finish eating, and it should have really had libun. But after doing Haggadah, the tam that's going to be left behind will only be a tam kolosh. So when it comes alos hashachar, it becomes chatzos, whatever, the isa noisa can't be chal, because the bli in the pot is maximum a tam kolosh. So by Pesach, by Chametz b'Pesach, it's a big machlekes. So the Rabbeinu Tam paskins, Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion that you never need libun for Pesach dika. For Chametz dika came to make them kosher the Pesach, because Chametz got him a Pesach, it's a terrible. And Shulchan Aruch went machmer. You don't follow the Rabbi in the time. When machmer, half of the time you need libun, half of the time hagol is enough. Why? So we follow the Ramban, it seems, that we treat the chametz kodem ha-pesach as the surah bala, because chametz shmai olav, it already has the shem chametz. The basa b'cholav, before they combine together, doesn't have a shem basa b'cholav yet. Or the carbon, before it becomes nifso belina, before it becomes nisa, doesn't have an isa nisa. So that's a terrible. But Aliyah Chametz Kodem HaPesach, the Ramban holds, is Isurabal. So we follow the Ramban. We sometimes require Libun on Chametz Dikikelim to make them Pesach. On the other hand, it says in Shulchan Aruch that when make Alanat Banat, let's say I had a Chametz Dikah pot, then I cooked some apple sauce in the pot. So I washed that. I had a Chametz Dikah pot, I washed it out. I had a pot last time, I was cooking spaghetti. And then I empty out all the spaghetti, I wash out the pot. Within 24 hours, I cook applesauce in that pot. So the whole pot is only chametz dik. You don't have chunks of chametz. All pot is only chametz dik because there's a blia of chametz in the pot. And then the blia goes from the pot into the applesauce. And that's what we call nisim tam by nisim tam. And the applesauce is put away in jars or plastic containers before Pesach. And then you want to say that when Pesach enters, the isa chametz should be chal on the nat banat. The whole nat banat is a tam kolush, and isa chametz can't be chal on nat banat. So there, with respect to nat banat, it says in the Shulchan Aruch that we treat chametz like hetera bala. We follow the Rabbeinu Tam, and the other siman regarding hagola versus libun, they don't pass like the Rabbeinu Tam that you never need libun. They say sometimes you need libun and sometimes hagola is good enough. So that's the stira in the Shulchan Aruch that all the nice kelim talk about, the Taz, and the Bir Agra, and the Mishnah Brura. Everybody talks about that stira. So the Mishnah Brura recommends we should be machma for the Ramban all the way. So that's why I say he overturned the whole practice that was for centuries. It was always mekubal like Tesis. That there's always a problem whenever you kasha a treifa kli, you do hagola. So the treifa kli goes into the water. So what's to prevent the treifa kli from coming back into the kli again? I have a treifa knife or fork by mistake. I used it for treifas. I used it for basa b'cholav. So I want a kasha, so the treifa blia goes into the water. What's going to prevent the treifa blia from coming back from the water into the kli? So one wild opinion in Tosis is that the forks and the knives that you're kashering can only absorb all other blias that are floating around in the water. It cannot reabsorb the blia that it just spit out itself. And Tosis is not happy with that suggestion. They think it's ridiculous. How does the kli know to discern between a blia that it just gave out from itself as opposed to some other blia? So that's why the answer that's accepted in the Shulchan Aruch is that whenever you kash, whenever you do hagola on a treifa pot, you have to either see that the treifa pot should be ene ben yomo, hasn't been used in the last 24 hours, or that you have shishin. Why? So if the treifa kli is ene ben yomo, so in atar there's no problem. You only need to kash him with the rabban. So once you kasha, the treifa kli goes into the water, nothing will prevent it from coming back in, but no problem. It's a blia that's ene ben yomo, it's kosher. To use the pot the way it is without hagola, no, that's exer de rabbanon. Ene ben yomo, te ben yomo. Why? Because the tchilas ha-blia was l'shvach. Originally, when this kli became treif, they were cooking chametz in it, they were cooking treifas in it. So the tchilas ha-blia was l'shvach, so there is exer de rabbanon. You're not allowed to use a cliche in a ben yomo without kashering. You say in a ben yomo, it's a ben yomo. But once you do a hagola and the treif of blia goes into the water, then it comes back in. So now the tchilas of blia is livgam, because that blia that went out was a nice and tam livgam. So if you wait till the treif of kli that you're kashering is going to be in a ben yomo, then your problems are solved. Or even if the treif of kli, the treif of fork and knife, will be ben yomo, But if you have shishim in the water against the knife or the fork, so if you have shishim, fine, so the treif of bliya goes into the water, and then it's taka going to come back in from the water into the fork of the knife, but it'll be bottle b'shishim before it has a chance to come back in. So if it'll be bottle b'shishim, there's no problem. So shishim is sometimes tricky to measure whether you really have shishim or not. So that's why the Ramah says that there's a minig not to be magil, not to do agola, when the kli is still a ben yomo. You should always avoid relying on shishim. But if you had shishim, so there's no problem. So this kpeda, this insistence that we always have whenever you're kashering treifa kelim are doing hagola, you have to either be careful that there should be shishim in the water connected to the treifa kli, or you should be careful that treifa kli should be ena ben yomo. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that when you do hagola on chametz dekei kelim before there's manisa chametz, so you don't have to worry about that, because the treifa, the chametz dekei kli will go into the water, it'll come back into the chametz dekei kli, but it'll be not banat banat hetera. So there's no problem. It'll be not banat banat hetera. The bliya was in the fork, now it goes into the water, then it comes back into the fork. So that's a not by not by not, and it's still the hetera, so that's had to go. So that was assumed to be the practice for centuries. And then came the Mishnah Berurah, and he raised this issue that the Taz and the Bir Agro were worried about. How can you say on the one hand that not by not is mutar on Pesach because it's hetera bola, treated as not by not hetera? Then you say that sometimes you require lipun. If it's a terabala, you never need libun, because if you do hagala, the time that will remain behind after doing hagala will only be a tam kolish. Yisik ken pichala and tam kolish. So with respect to hagala, how come we say sometimes you do need libun? You treat the chametz as if it were isurabala, and all of a sudden with respect to the nat banat, you're still sticking to the rabbein and tam that it's a terabala. So the Mishnah Berurah reversed the psak. So he says you should only do a hagala when the chametz take forks and knives. Arena ben yomo, or make sure that you have shishim in the water. That's not the way it was practiced for centuries and centuries. It was always practiced like Tesis. So we understand where the Mishnah Berurah got it from, because that's Tira and the Psak and the Shulchanah. But that's not the way it was, never like that. We were always assuming that not by not is muta and chametz kodem ha-pesach. Mentioned that chametz b'mashehu is a discussion in the Gemara. Is there such a din that chametz is b'mashehu? Machlokes Amoraim and the Rabbeinu Tam and the Shultes hold the maskana. There is no such din. There is no din of chametz b'mashehu. But the generally accepted opinion based on argus in the Gemara is that there is a chumre that chametz b'pesach is b'mashehu. What about chametz on erev Pesach? A balabasta is cooking, and she knows that by mistake a little bit of chametz fell in. And there a Pesach after Chatzos. Would you say, and you know that you have shishim, would you say the chametz b'erev Pesach is b'mashehu or not? So that's a machlokes Tosfos in the Rambam. The Rambam Shulchan Aruch paskens like Tosfos that the chumrah of chametz that is b'mashehu only applies on Pesach when you have an iser karis. And there a Pesach when it's only an iser, according to the Rambam, it's an iser lav. According to the Ravid and the Rabban, it's only an iser asay. Rambam paskens like Rav Yehuda on there a Pesach that there is a lav. Even though he doesn't pass like Rabbi Yehuda by Chamisha Abel Rav Pesach, and the Ramban and the Ravid ask, why should we split the Psah? If we pass like Rabbi Shimon, the Chamisha Abel Rav Pesach is not their ice, it's only the Rabbanon, the Chametz Kadam Pesach doesn't have a lav either. So let's say Chametz and Erev Pesach after Chatzos, even if you follow the Rambam that it's a lav, but there's no Koris. So that's a Shiloh, should it be B'mashu? So the Ramah passes like Tesis, the Chametz and Erev Pesach is not B'mashu, because there's no Koris yet. The Rambam happens to hold the Chumrah of Mashu even applies, and there are Pesach after this man Issa. But we don't pass it like that. Rambam says we don't follow that Rambam.
Means if you eat it on
Erev
Pesach.
Oh, so let's say little. Even if you want to eat it in the middle of Pesach, if it's Balach, if it's Lach Balach, then we say it's not Koris Aminir. But by mistake, a little bit of Chomitz fell in on Erev Pesach after Chatzoy, so it'll be. Bottle the shishim, both, number one, you may eat it now, air Pesach after Chatzos. Number two, you may eat it into the middle of Pesach as well. By some chassidim, they're makbid on gibrok, so the shaila is, what if a little speck of matzah mel fell into soup? You have shishim. So let's say it fell in on air Pesach, so even chametz is bottle the shishim. What if it fell in on Pesach? A little bit of a crumb of matzah fell into soup, and then it got mixed in, and you can't get it out. So does it asa pair shishim? So the poskim used to say that even by the chassidim, There's only a din that chametz ben mashu. There is no din that matzah is ben mashu. When the chassidim are not machmer and gebroks, mamish to the extent that it's considered like chametz. That's why the meaning by the chassidim is that the last days of Pesach, the last day of Pesach, Yantav Sheni Shal Gol is the eighth day of Pesach, they all eat gebroks, so that the Bezel Shal Maila shouldn't have any kitrug against the misnagdim. Why they're not nizer in the chumra? So the chassidim eat gebroks to demonstrate that the whole thing is baloney. The whole thing is only a chumra. It's not mikra din. So the Bezel Shal Maila shouldn't punish those who are not machmer with their chumras. What about kidneys? So we mentioned the Tosis quotes the Rabbeinu Hanan la mem on the base, the marker for kidneys in the Gemara. So in Shulchan Aruch, the Primogarim writes that the minig against eating kidneys only applies on Pesach. And Erev Pesach after Chatzos he may eat kidneys. Sometimes people by mistake buy chocolates that have lecithin in it. They say that lecithin is kidneys. So let them eat it all up on Erev Pesach. There's not by Rabbi by Matzah. You can save it to lift the Pesach. But you're allowed to eat it on Erev Pesach. The Shiloh is, let's say, little children. There's a din, osa l'achila b'yadayim. You're not allowed to give a little child treif of food, even if he's a cotton shaloi gilachina. He doesn't know b'chlav what's going on. A little infant does not b'chlav what's going on. So there's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Rashba and Yevamis and Perek Cherish, in the beginning of Perek Cherish. Does it only apply to an Issa deraisa? Does it even apply to an Issa derabban? Rav Chacham Avad Yosef has a tshuva, he writes, that even those who are machmer that even applies to Isurim de Rabbanon, but it doesn't apply to Minhagim. If something is also just mitaminic like kidneys, then that's Butal Achila Biadaim. If it's a cotton shehigil achinach, the child is old enough to understand what we're going to tell him, then the child can't eat bread, he can't eat cookies, he can't eat schnapps, he can't eat this. Not allowed to eat kidneys, not allowed to have corn on the cob, because it's Pesach. You know, I'll give him a whole explanation. He'll understand the difference. He'll ask you, what's kidneys? You tell him what falls under the category of Shoshan, so he'll understand. But if it's a little infant, so young that he doesn't understand Bechlav, what the list is that you're telling him, so that Rav Avad Yosef has it true. He says, Mutal Achila Biyadai. Okay. So by mistake, somebody bought all these candies with kidneys in them. So it's Mutal to nibble on them on Erev Pesach. You have to eat the matzah but the oven, so you can't eat too much. It's mutter to feed them to little infants who don't understand mechlav, what's going on, what's flying. So you're not allowed to give them chametz derais and chametz derabbanan, but you're allowed to give them what's only osam itam minim. It's only kidneys, then you can feed it to the ktan.
Okay. The last time we spoke about the Ram, Rabbi said, the Rav Chaim said, the Mekevitz HaMishnah says, the Pshat and the Ram, that even Mindamino is osam b'mashu on Pesach.
Minatur also be mashu up till kazais b'dachilas pras.
Yeah.
Even though it's ain't a nice and tough, the fact that it's also mashu even peshishim, that's only the rabbanon. But the fact that it also up until the proportion of kazais b'dachilas pras, that the Rambam seems to say that even applies to mimimino. Mimishenimino, that's tam kiker, that's their isa, that'll be kores also. When does the Rambam say that there's an isa tarub is chametz without kores? Even though you have kazayis da'achilas pras, that's min b'mina, where there is no nesina stam. So that's a p'china of mashuhu deraisa. Based on the rules and regulations in Yerudev, should have been bapu. So that's a chumra pesach min ha-Torah, that pesach is b'mashu. So called the tikkun rabbanan came, deraisa tikkun, the rabbanan introduced the real mashuhu, literally mashuhu. A shaila that comes up pretty often now, let's say a man is not religious and he has a haspal of chametz and he has children who are religious. Guy gets a heart attack and he dies in the middle of Pesach. Do the children have to run to destroy the chametz right away? Well, you wrote by matzah. Or should I say no? That doesn't go to Yerusha. It doesn't help if they say we don't want to get the Yerusha. Yerusha goes bal korcha. Pishnaim doesn't go bal korcha. The Gemara says losis lo pishnaim matana kai rachmana. So the pishnaim is called the matana. You can't force a matana down my throat. But the basic Yerusha, the chelak hapshit, is to get bal korcha. Doesn't help if you say, I don't want to get the Yerusha. Then if you say, Yarshin the Chametz, it doesn't help, I declare it as a Hefker. The Gemara says, after this Mani Surah comes, it's Ein B'Shusay, and you can no longer be Mafkerit. That's the Gemara. After this Mani Surah comes, it's too late to be Mafkerit. Where's that Gemara? The top of Zayin and Aleph. After this Mani, even after this Mani Surah, the Rabbanah, you can't be Mavat L'Chametz, you can't be Mafkerit L'Chametz. It's too late. So the shayla is, does it go be Yerusha or not? So that's the shayla. Because the Gemara says that chometz is really ain't b'shusha shal adam. That's on the bottom of Vav on the base, the last six lines. Chometz is ain't b'shusha shal adam. And it really doesn't make sense that there should be a din of Bal Yira by Matzah. Is Eina B'Shusa, what's the problem? Asan HaKasu Kila Hein B'Shusa. The Torah was Machadish that you treat it as if it is B'Shusa. So how do you translate the words? So there's a major Machlekes HaRishayim that the Mishnah Berurah quotes, the Machlekes HaKreinim, had a Paskin, that if Yehuda, but the Chaykankiv, and all the Paskin. Some Mishnahim say that Yisuri HaNoah Arena Shaloi. Some Mishnahim say maybe other Yisuri HaNoah Ashaloi, but Chameitz in Avodah Zarah, which is Ton Ibud Min Olam, you're not allowed to keep it in your possession, can't be Shaloi, it's Aina Shaloi. So how can anybody ever violate by Yerah by Matz? You only violate by Yerah to Shaloi. If it's Yisuri, if you say all Yisuri HaNoah, at least you say Chameitz B'Pesach, it's Ton Ibud Min Olam, so it's not Shaloi. How do you violate by Yerah by Matz? Asana kasukilei meshusa. So it's a chiddush haTorah. So that's what the Nadi Bihuda uses an expression. It's only what we would call a kinyan isa, based on choshe mish, but it's not really shalom. And if it's not shalom, can't go birusha. It's a kinyan isa that he has with respect to violation of Bal Yerah by Matzah. We consider it as if it's shalom. So the Nadi Bihuda quotes a Gemara in Gittin, where the Gemara says, "Isura la mare sinish libre." If all you have is a kinyan isa, it can't go over birusha. So the Nadi Bihuda holds la locha that if the father dies in the middle of Pesach, the father is not religious. He has a house called the Chometz. He dies in the middle of Pesach and the children are observant. They don't have to destroy the Chometz. It's not their headache. It's not their problem. They don't have any Bal Yerah by Matzah. It doesn't go Birush. And others disagree and they say, what are you talking about? When the Gemara says, the Chometz is Eina B'Shusa Shalom, it does mean it's Eina Shalom. It means to be taken literally Eina B'Shusa. In order to violate Bal Yerah by Matzah, you really need to be a full Bal. It has to be Shaloi u'Bishusai. So Chameitz is inaccessible because it's Hasa Manos, it's Eina B'Shusai. So how do you ever violate Bal Yerah by Matzah? You never B'Shusai. So that's a Chiddush HaTorah that you do violate Bal Yerah by Matzah. But it always was Shaloi. It's for Shaloi in Hilchos Choshe Mishpat. Even Yisuri HaNoah, even Chameitz also Shaloi. The whole discussion of the Gemara goes, as it says literally, on Eina B'Shusai Tavid. So let's say a man dies and he has property that's stolen. The man dies and someone stole, a ganav stole his property. So whatever property belongs to the man who died, even if it's Eina B'Shusa, goes Birusha to the children. So then the Chometz will go Birusha to the children. So that's a fundamental machlokes achronos, nageh l'halacha. Whether people only have, when the Gemara says Shnei Dvarim Eina B'Shusa means Eina Shaloi, and it's only a kinyan isa that he has, Asana Kaskina and B'Shusa, he treated as if it's Shaloi. Oh no, Shaloi it always is. That's not an issue. It just ain't a b'shusai. So if shaloi, ain't a b'shusai, so that goes b'irusha. You don't just need a kinyanis on that. So that's a big, in the Mishnah Berurah quote, it's a big machlokes la'alacha. How do we paskin? Whether chametz on Pesach should it really be considered ain't a shaloi, or just that it's considered ain't a b'shusai. Okay, maybe we'll continue tomorrow.